Inspired by an idea.
Alex is amazing. Was started by a kid. The kid was Alex. She was my sister.
Before illness claimed her life, Alex's lemonade stand raised nearly $1 million for childhood cancer. Now her brothers have carried on with new goals in sight.
The reason it's important to reach their goal is because it was set by Alex right before she died.
Help Alex's dream live on. Visit alexslemonade.org and help beat childhood cancer one cup at a time.
Were you aware that big changes are on the way for the welfare system come October? Congress has decided that states are not doing enough to get people off of aid programs and back into the job market. This could result in states losing billions of dollars if they don't develop plans the government approves of by as early as June. State governments say if they don't keep the flexibility they currently have to put people back into the job market, the whole plan is doomed to fail. You need to be listening Friday morning at 8 for an informative look at the possible end of the welfare program as we know it with Daniel Vaughn, staff writer and researcher for Stateline.org, here on the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Have you been noticing subtle or maybe not so subtle changes to your face lately? Like being out in the sun for a time and your face turns red, resembling a sunburn that seems to last forever. Or a face that flushes and stays red when you're under stress. Or does your face turn red when you drink alcohol or eat spicy food? These are common triggers for facial redness that could mean you have rosacea. It's a conspicuous but little-known disorder that affects more than 14 million Americans. And without medical help, it can seriously disrupt your daily life. Rosacea usually starts as facial redness that becomes increasingly severe. Visible blood vessels may appear. Bumps and pimples often develop. And sometimes the nose may grow red and swollen. Even the eyes may be irritated with potential loss of vision. If you've noticed signs of rosacea, see a dermatologist. Or for more information, call the National Rosacea Society toll-free at 1-888-NO-BLUSH. That's 1-888-NO-BLUSH.
Get everything you ever wanted to know about your federal income taxes all in one convenient location. You can save yourself a trip and download IRS forms you need while sitting at your desk. Find out if you qualify for a deduction or a credit. File your taxes electronically for free, and even check on your refund. It's all available and waiting for you, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at IRS.gov. That's IRS.gov.
Hi, this is Ken Dodson, host of The Ken Dodson Show. And I want to let you know about a guest that I'm going to have on my show this week. I'm going to have the phenomenal Liz Brown on The Ken Dodson Show this Friday from 8 till 9. I'm going to examine a side of Liz Brown that you've never seen before. It's an hour conversation with Liz Brown this Friday on The Ken Dodson Show. I'll see you then.
Time now for another edition of The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brothers, y'all be my sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brothers, y'all be my sisters.
To use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. the progress is healing the wound that's the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, feel me, brother. Top
sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, charity, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My goodness gracious, I am Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Oh. Reverberations from yesterday's election results, Tuesday's election results. Reverberations are being felt all over the city. People are reevaluating how things are done. People are stunned that their monumental defeat yesterday. And that's what I get for reading the Post-Dispatch and getting my information from the Post. Yesterday I told you that measure to make it more difficult to recall to call your alderman passed. That's because I read it in the Post. I know better. They were wrong. It did not pass. We were 100% successful in the city of St. Louis. We defeated every single measurement, and we defeated Slay's team. The Post was wrong because you need 60% to change the charter. So the Post was wrong, and shame on me for reading the Post and getting my information out of the Post. we did something monumental. Everything that we said we wanted to do on Election Day, we did it in the city of St. Louis. And there are reverberations all over this city. And it is time. It is time to take this momentum and roll in some amazing places with it. We need to change some stuff. We truly do. We really, really need to change some stuff. What do they call that? Feeling our oats? We need to do that. We really, really, really need to do that. So we're going to be talking about that more in the next hour when we have our, what's the word, what's the phrase? Eye on the Loo with Irene J. Smith. So we'll talk about that more in the next hour. In the meantime, continue to congratulate yourself. Continue to congratulate your community. And I just have to point out this one observation. One of my observations. Unlike going to a football game where the Boston Celtics win, they played the game and they won. In politics, when you vote, when you participate, We played the game, and we won. How do you like my sports analogy? Football, Celtics. Not proud of that. Not proud of that. It's not a... we did this. There is a real we in this. And as one of the candidates, one of the new, our newest school board members, Donna Jones, said, this is a victory for the community. Unlike a Cardinals baseball game, they get paid, they win. It's not a victory for the town. This is a victory for the community. So take that to heart. Feel that in your heart. And know that when you do this, when you engage in this political process, it's real. It's real. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number, 1-877-920-WGNU. Can I go to Wisconsin? Can I take a walk to Wisconsin? Can I do that? Thousands of people turned out in Wisconsin. Turned out to offer a absolutely symbolic act, to engage in a symbolic action. By margins overwhelming in some places and narrow in others, voters in 24 of the 32 communities approved referendums on our election day, on Tuesday, calling for the immediate withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. 24,000 voters in the state capital gave 68% to the referendum calling for the pullout. Also, there was one amendment on the ballot urging support of George Bush, George W. Bush. Guess what? It was rejected. They rejected a referendum calling for the support of George Bush. I think that's a slap on both cheeks. You know, normally how you like hit somebody in the face, you hit them on one side of their face. That is a slap on both cheeks. On both cheeks. Folks in one town that had a referendum calling for the support of George Bush was defeated. Oh, that's slap on both sides of your face. You got hit twice with that. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up and get to me. And can y'all help me with the logic of this? People actually say out their mouth, if we pull out of Iraq now, it would be a mess. Huh? Help me with that. What would happen that's not happening right now? We have 30, 40, 50, 60 people dead every day. Troops being killed every day. Car bombings, kidnapping. Iraqi people are now arming themselves to shoot other Iraqi people to protect them. What would happen that's not happening now? Oh, it would get worse, huh? Huh? Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I think you're saying something really important. Two things I wanted to say. I think that the trend now is swinging toward Democrats, and now is a good time to really seize that. And to, as you know, one thing that you've always been is consistent. And I think now is that time, it's time for that Democratic message and voice to be heard loud and clear. And I think the public, they're ready to hear it now again. So I'm just encouraging you to continue to to sound the call and blow the trumpet.
Well, we have some important information coming at you soon to help facilitate that, because I really what we did on Tuesday was it alters the political landscape.
Yeah, well, I don't think it happened by accident. I think it. You know, people are very critical of Democrats. They're not organized. They're not this. They're not that. But I think it's just a different way of organizing, differently than the conservatives, the Republicans.
Well, I think that the Democrats have earned a whole lot of criticism, because it's
absolutely.
They've earned it in bucketfuls. Because when you have someone, it's like in the beginning, when Democrats stood by and believe you me, I talked to I don't even know how many Democrats at the beginning of this siege of our public schools. And many of them stood silently by as our babies were being raped and robbed.
Yeah.
And it took it took some people getting hurt personally on this. It took it unfortunate, absolutely, because that makes it personal. This politics isn't about. It's not. This isn't personal in that respect. I mean, it shouldn't have to happen to you before you say it's not right to. I mean, I shouldn't have to be 85 years old to complain about and to address and to fight against Medicaid cuts.
Yeah.
Because we know that that is wrong.
Right, and we know the implications.
Absolutely.
There's too much to lose.
Absolutely.
Also, if I could just mention for a minute, I was a deputy, Democratic deputy, a roving deputy Tuesday.
In the city of St. Louis.
In the city, yes.
Okay.
In the city, my thing is the city. I wanted to say that the one issue, and you pointed that out yesterday about the new machinery, and I wanted to speak a minute about the mechanics of all that, the Diebold machine. I think over time, the machines are going to be a big plus. Right now, we're in that transition of moving toward that new technology. And what you saw Tuesday, especially at the closings, it was the openings and closings, the actual election times itself went very smoothly. The scanning and as well as the touch screen, it actually went, the optical scanning, it went well. In all precincts that I saw, the problem was setting up the machines and closing them down, and that's why it took so long, because it was computer technology that a lot of the people were not familiar with. When I got to many of the polling places, and my day started about 4:30, 5 o'clock, there were polling places that had not cut on the machines. They were not aware of where the switches were or how to do any of that. And so as a result, if you don't start right, then it's not going to end right. And so it was not machines themselves, but I fault the Board of Elections for not adequately training people and having people in place that were really computer literate.
Well,
that was a flaw of that system.
Here is my concern, Jeff, and I, given what Diebold's dismal record is in electronic voting, given the fact that all states do not require paper trails, we cannot embrace this. We should not embrace this technology until the fail-safe without insisting that the fail-safe measures are embedded in every one of the machines. Elections can be fixed with these types of machines in ways that they couldn't with the other types of machines, with an ease and no fingerprints with the other machines. So my resistance to my criticisms of my observations of this it's not about being anti-technology or anything like that. It's about the record of Diebold and the concern about the absence of paper trail and monumental fraud with no fingerprints.
Yeah. Well, there should have been, in most of the cases, there was a fingerprint. The individual didn't get a copy of that, and I think that you're right. That's a flaw that I as an individual should have some record of mine.
And not only I as an individual, because that even my piece of paper, that means that everybody that voted like me has to come and bring their piece of paper to show something. There needs to be a piece of paper at the Board of Elections for us, the citizens, to be able to look at and to be able to, if there is an audit, if we want an audit, or if there's an audit that is needed, there should be a piece of paper to confirm what the machine is saying.
Well, there is that. Within each of the machines, at the end of the day, there is a tally sheet that the optical scan and the touchscreen produces.
Okay, and again, my concern is that is good, and that is as it should be, but all across the country, that only happened legislatively, and everybody doesn't do that.
Absolutely right, and that's a definite national flaw, and it, you're right, it needs to be consistent. Every state, every precinct in the country should have the same standard.
And I got to roll. Thank you. Listen,
thank you,
folks, this is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're going to take a break. You need to stay with me.
It's not the big moon that excites me. The thrills and delights me. Oh, no. Yes. Just an earnest view. It isn't your sweet conversation that brings this sensation.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WTMU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Eastbound 44 from Nantyre to Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Northbound 55 at 141 and 270, no problems there. Northbound 270 at 44 and Marshall, that traffic starting to build this hour. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 44 between Nantyre and 109, road construction right lane is closed. 30 at Gravoy at 44 to disable vehicle on the ramp to northbound 270. Maybe a slight backup there. Westbound 5570 at Poplar Street Bridge is flowing freely this hour. Westbound 64 to 5570 split looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Cleves Landing is on the move. Northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for that traffic to be building. Highway Z at 55. Those lights are not working. It's a four-way stop there. Northbound 67 from 110 to 55. Look for stop-and-go traffic this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Protect your car's engine with clean motor oil. Stop by Napa Auto Parts today and pick up Valvoline conventional motor oil for $1.99 a quart. Napa, get the good stuff. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today and tomorrow. Mostly cloudy this morning, partly sunny by this afternoon, a 50% chance of showers today with a high in the mid-70s this evening, becoming partly cloudy late. Showers and thunderstorms are likely in the evening, and a chance of showers after midnight. Storms may be producing damaging winds and or large hail in the evening with a low in the upper 50s, so use precautions. And then for Friday, partly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers. The high should be in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 53 degrees under cloudy conditions. Lambert Field is reporting 52 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. The recent hailstorm may have caused damage to your roof. But beware. When these types of events happen, people called storm chasers appear out of the blue and offer to do the work, but then disappear with your money and only half do the job. Phil Person of Phil Person Roofing reminds you he will be here to serve you long after the storm chasers have come and gone. Person Roofing is a licensed and certified contractor specializing in roof replacements and repairs, and replaces from 200 to 400 roofs a year. Phil Person Roofing, in business 16 years, 361-7127. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me right here on WGNU, 920 AM, on Friday nights for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Yeah, right.
How do you become a hero at work? It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Alan Brainerd inviting you to join me every Wednesday for Design 411. Whether you live in a mansion or a studio apartment, my guests and I will share new and exciting ways to make your home truly attractive. Please join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411. Wednesdays at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where you'll get the 411 on the things that matter most to you.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you Christmas tree. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you Irish ring and a pomegranate too.
Hi, this is Ken Dodson, host of The Ken Dodson Show. And I want to let you know about a guest that I'm going to have on my show this week. I'm going to have the phenomenal Liz Brown on The Ken Dodson Show this Friday from 8 till 9. I'm going to examine a side of Liz Brown that you've never seen before. It's an hour conversation with Liz Brown this Friday on The Ken Dodson Show. I'll see you then.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
This is a message to all those who've been trying to reach the top of a hill on that ladder of success.
There will be a press conference today. The Coalition Against Police Crimes and Repression news conference today at 4 o'clock on the steps of the police headquarters at 1200 Clark. The purpose of the press conference is twofold. The coalition will express its reaction to Francis Slay's veto of Board Bill 69 for civilian review. It will also discuss Francis Slay's proposal for a civilian review board and the responsibilities of the police board as it prepares to vote on that proposal. Secondly, the coalition will discuss the recent research that finds that the police department's accountability systems have failed. The department has not complied with the settlement agreement in the Gregory Bell case. You remember the Gregory Bell where police officers savagely beat a mentally retarded young man. Out of that case, there were mandatory reforms to the complaint process. Also, the Internal Affairs has virtually stopped sustaining certain citizens' complaints. These failures demonstrate the profound inability of the police board to oversee the accountability process and call into question the rationale behind Francis Slay's plan to give the police board control over civilian review. They're not civilians. So that's a press conference today at 4 o'clock at police headquarters at 1200 Clark. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get to me. Juanita.
Hi, Liz.
Good morning.
Yes, you had a caller yesterday that was laying out hot air and was saying that when we supported Peter Downs and Donna, that was the author of Confusion. And I want to give her a lesson on confusion because I think she was one, I'm sure she was one of Dornetta Slay's cronies to say something like that. And not knowing what they did. Okay, I'm going to give her a lesson in confusion. Okay, first, they closed the buildings. Kids had to walk miles to different schools. The buses was late. Then they allowed the staff in the cafeteria to get fired. So then they hired this other team to poison. The kids had to go to hospital because they got sick of the food. Then they fired the aides. So no one was watching the kids in the hallways, and someone fell and bust their head. They had to go to the hospital. And then they gave themselves a pay raise. So naturally, they took all the money, gave themselves a pay raise and their cronies, so they didn't have enough books and papers and everything for the kids. So I'm saying, letting her know what the author of confusion is.
Well, the fact of the matter is that if Darnetta Clingstell, Shamel, and if Jim Buford Slay, who's your daddy, if they were in corporate America and performed in the way that they performed on the school board, they would have been kicked to the curb and nobody in corporate America would hire them.
Exactly.
They would be almost flogged in the public square based upon their dismal performance as school board members. We lost 26 points towards accreditation in 3 short years. That's enough to get anybody fired. And the fact that they had gall to come to us and say that they should keep their job when they should have been holding their head down in shame and apologizing to us shows the contempt that they have for our children and our community.
Right.
Good riddance to bad rubbish.
Right, exactly.
Thanks
exactly.
for your call.
I'm so glad they're gone.
Good
so
riddance to bad rubbish.
Exactly.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Jasmine.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I just want to send out kudos to you, to Peter Downs, and to Donna Jones. It is so good that the trash has finally been taken out.
Good riddance.
We have clean vessels now.
There we go. There we go.
I was born and raised in the city of St. Louis. My son has gone to St. Louis Public Schools. I no longer live in the city, but I want to applaud the citizens of the city of St. Louis for doing what was right. They got out. They voted. It is amazing what you can do when you have people that are committed to our children. I'm a former educator, Liz.
I know you feel this.
And, oh, my goodness, I have so many friends that are teachers, and I just want to say thank you to you for pushing and pushing and pushing to get our people out to do the right thing and vote.
And it was, I'm just telling you, this is monumental what we did. on Tuesday, what the community did on Tuesday.
It was amazing.
Yes, it was. And it is inspiring, and it should just send a message to everybody that we can slay the dragon. You know, don't be scared. Don't beg nobody for power. We can slay the dragon.
They created that monster.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And we finally beat it back.
I called in to you quite a bit, and I said, I have to call. Thank you, Liz. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You have a great day.
Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Much to talk about. Let's do this. Let's take a break, and then we'll get back to some of your calls. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
For the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline New Orleans. Last week, a federal judge ruled against postponing elections set for April 22nd in New Orleans. A number of organizations had sought to have the elections delayed because displaced people would not be able to vote in them, and no provisions were being made to allow that to happen. Judge Ivan Lemel admitted there were problems, but it was more important for the process to continue. Surprisingly, members of a black leadership network called Project 21 have come out in support of that ruling. One of the leaders of the group, Gregory Parker, says many of the displaced in his area have expressed no desire to come back to New Orleans, so it would make no sense to tinker with the election. He said that the current leadership of the city has failed and is just trying to shift blame under the race flag because people are calling for their scalps. He said that when Mayor Ray Nagin expressed the desire to make New Orleans a chocolate city again, he was really saying he wanted to maintain the status quo, which was going nowhere fast. Project 21 has been a community activist organization since 1992. And Dateline Bahrain. Word out of Qatar that the proposed oil trading forum that was to be established in that Middle Eastern country has been either postponed indefinitely or canceled altogether. What was dramatic about this endeavor was that it was going to base its oil trading on the euro instead of the American dollar. It was supposed to be an all-in-one resource center that would cater to the needs of the oil and gas industry that operates in the region. Basing energy trading on the euro would have created problems for the American economy and would have had a large impact on the politics of the entire region, which contains 70% of the oil reserves in the world. This development tends to show how strong a hold the American oil companies have on the Mideast oil market. This is your wake-up call global news update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
That's right. Where else, where else, where else are you going to get the best deals in town, the best customer service in town, and the easiest location, the only location in town, Sears, 3425 Union. That's right. Jerome Williams will walk you through his store. We'll show you the deals that you can't get anywhere else. We'll show you the name brand appliances. Upscale, big scale, little scale. He has it all at Sears at 3425 Union. Look, weekend's coming. I know what that means. It's time to get your shop on. Get on over to Sears, the only full-service Sears in the city of St. Louis, 3425 Union. I'm Liz Brown. When you get there, tell him I told you to.
Hi, this is Ken Dodson, host of The Ken Dodson Show. And I want to let you know about a guest that I'm going to have on my show this week. I'm going to have the phenomenal Liz Brown on The Ken Dodson Show this Friday from 8 till 9. I'm going to examine a side of Liz Brown that you've never seen before. It's an hour conversation with Liz Brown this Friday on The Ken Dodson Show. I'll see you then.
Were you aware that big changes are on the way for the welfare system come October? Congress has decided that states are not doing enough to get people off of aid programs and back into the job market. This could result in states losing billions of dollars if they don't develop plans the government approves of by as early as June. State governments say if they don't keep the flexibility they currently have to put people back into the job market, the whole plan is doomed to fail. You need to be listening Friday morning at 8 for an informative look at the possible end of the welfare program as we know it with Daniel Vonk, staff writer and researcher for Stateline.org, here on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Yeah, Liz?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I just tuned in. Did Peter Downs and Donna win?
Of course they did.
Oh, man, okay.
That
gives me joy. I started to give up on voting with all the fraud and stuff that's going on. I just really started to just give up on voting. That's great. Secondly, I have a question for you because I was kind of, I look at 60 Minutes and so on and so forth. It seems like, you know, I kind of agree with there needs to be something done about the illiteracy rate and what's going on in the schools, but I figured with Slay behind the voucher thing, there was something up with that, and they were going to, like you said, industrialize to where people just made money. But I still think changes need to be made to the school.
You mean privatize. What I said was privatize.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel that, you know, they should be able to go after bad teachers. However, I don't like anything about Slay or anyone that's backing what he does. And I still think that that thing about him saying that the board passed that residency thing after he left, he had to stage that too, to where he could do a hands-off thing and make it seem like he had nothing to do with it. So.
Well, that's the political part of it and not the public service part of it. They're not put in office to be a politician. They're elected into office to be a public servant. And it's the easy route for many people to take the political route, which means that we're going to lie, we're going to dance around the truth, we're going to engage in subtleties and in subtleties in ways that we cannot be held accountable or that we think that we can't be held accountable to the eye of the public that we're supposed to serve. That was a political lie that was told the citizen. Well, and you need to understand the pattern of Francis Lay is that it doesn't matter what the citizens do.
Right.
Remember, the citizens voted that we didn't want public money to go to a stadium. We said that, and he said, bump y'all, we're taking public money and helping these poor rich billionaires out. And the same with the Civilian Review Board. There was it was all across the city, from coast to coast, from north to south in the city of St. Louis. All the citizens said, we want the cops to live where they work. And we said that, and Francis Slay said, bump that.
And you know what else he did, Liz, on that stadium thing? He went up and lobbied for that, remember?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And didn't lobby for our babies.
Right.
And didn't lobby for our babies.
And will not give the city employees a raise either. He didn't lobby hard for that.
Fact.
What about money for that?
Fact.
City employees need raises. The police department serves the city. The fire department serves the city. We're all in this together. Why do they get different raises? Different, you know, amounts in that just because
he's a politician, not a public servant.
Thanks. It doesn't make sense.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Linda.
Yes, hi, Liz.
Good morning.
Good morning. I didn't hear anything about the proposition.
All of them failed. All of them failed.
Good.
It was a clean slate. We did a clean slate in the city of St. Louis. They all failed. Mm-hmm.
Right.
No.
Okay. And only one other question.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard anything about this in a while. I know they were trying to pass something, I guess, of a nuisance law with the loud music.
I don't know what the final result of that is. It was on Francis Slay's desk. I don't know if he signed it or not.
Okay, well, I hope he signed it because of that I don't like. They need to turn the music down.
But here's the thing, Linda. Here's the thing. We have to examine everything in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that a cop should be able to take somebody's car?
Mm-hmm.
Because that cop says that the music is too loud?
Okay. Maybe give them a ticket.
That's what I'm saying. But this law says that they can take the car.
Oh, okay.
And so it's while I appreciate and I understand that people, that we have to balance this out. I know that when I was 21, 18, 17, 16, the music on my radio was very loud. Although I didn't have the stereo stuff to make it as loud as you can today, we have to learn how to balance living with one another. And if somebody is playing Bach too loud, should they have their car taken away from people? Would howl if that were true. We have to resist the urge sometimes and be fair to give young people the same break that we were given. I think it is I think it's a sin, and I think that it's a crime to go take some young child's car because a young person was playing their radio too loud. And remember, most of the time it's going to come down to what the cop said versus what the kid said. Who's going to win in that? In the society that we live in. The punishment does not fit the so-called crime.
Yeah, things have, I guess they really escalated to I'm going to say worse level from when we were younger, though. A lot of these kids, they're not scared of anything.
But again, they said the same thing about us. Every generation has had the next generation say, oh, y'all ain't like us. We didn't live like that. Mom, when I wanted to wear hot pants when I was in sixth grade, my father said to me, no child, daughter of mine is going to wear an article of clothing with the word hot in it. Now, those pants are modest by anybody's standards today, okay? But,
have a lot of these young girls.
Well, wait a minute. What I'm saying is that every generation reaches back and criticizes the generation before them and says that they are the worst thing that has ever happened. Some of it is true. Some of it is not true. And we have to be fair and resist the urge to throw the baby out with the bathwater. If the music is too loud, give someone a ticket. You don't take their car.
No, now that's good.
Okay.
That I like.
You know, but the bill here is not about giving anybody a ticket. It's about taking the car. So we should be opposed to that.
Yeah.
And because we should be trying to get our needs met over the issues of all of our community. That ain't right. That ain't right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. John.
Morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Thank you for announcing the press conference today
by
CAFCAR about civilian review. There's just so much developed on that issue right now. We found out yesterday that the police board is going to vote on the mayor's proposal this coming Wednesday. And it's going to be a full slate down there at the police board. They're going to have the civilian residency issue and civilian review on their plate.
Mm.
So we're asking people to turn out for that. We need to show up down there and force
when
them
is
to
that?
Know how we feel.
When is that, John?
That's Wednesday, April 12th at 9:30.
Very good. Just
down
keep,
at police headquarters.
Keep reminding us.
And this police board is going to be acting without any input from the community.
And that's something? On a
They're
civilian
not,
review board, they haven't had one single hearing but asking the community what they want.
They didn't even attend the aldermanic hearings on the issue. They haven't engaged in negotiations with anybody for years.
Mm.
And
but they're going to have a fair civilian review board when they haven't talked to the civilians out here.
And, you know, they need to take time to look at the legal issues, because Slade's lawyer put forth a bunch of baloney that the Kennedy bill was illegal. Well, are they just going to swallow that and not take the time to look into it? There are other attorneys with very different opinions, but have they asked for any of those opinions?
Thanks for your call, John.
Okay, take care.
454-0400 is my phone number. Pam, quickly.
Yes, could you tell me, did Tony win?
No, he did not. No, he did not. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. I will be back in the next hour with Eye on the Lou. Stay with us.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing
the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Latest from ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Duke University is looking for a new lacrosse coach. The team has benched the rest of the season, and a player has been sent home, all for writing an email that's gotten a lot of attention, and not the good kind. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more now on how the school is handling a scandal over a stripper who claims three team members raped her.
A star player who wrote an email Duke President Richard Broadhead called repulsive has been suspended.
When I read it, I was sickened.
In the email, Ryan McFadden writes, "I've decided to have some strippers over." He then describes how he'd like to kill and skin them. Duke students found it shocking.
If someone were to actually think that way as a person, that's kind of disturbing.
A defense attorney says the email is horrible, but does not prove rape. It has heightened antagonism between privileged lacrosse players and the poorer people of Durham. DNA tests are due back any day now. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
New violence in Iraq. At least 15 people are dead. Many more hurt after a car bomb exploded near a sacred shrine in Najaf.
This does appear to be another attack in the ongoing sectarian violence that has plagued this country since the bombing of the Samarra Mosque over a month ago. The city of Najaf is identified as a Shia stronghold, the shrine of the Imam Ali being the most important mosque for Shia Iraqis. And this is the home to Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, as well as the firebrand cleric Muqtada al-Sadr.
ABC's Stephanie Gosk in Baghdad. They say he can get the death penalty, and today the jury in the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui begins the phase in which it will decide if he is executed.
The prosecution will be very aggressive with one of the early witnesses, former New York Mayor Rudolph Giuliani. And the evidence in the coming days will be, in a word,
ABC's Pierre Thomas in Alexandria, Virginia. The Senate is headed for a showdown over immigration reform today. Republicans and Democrats both introducing new plans. This is ABC News.
Thanks for helping me move, Liz.
Sure.
Time for that California Chardonnay we love.
Ooh, Corbett Canyon?
Canyon.
I hope we're never going to find a corkscrew.
Oh, don't need one. Got the new Corbett Canyon Premium Wine Cask.
Clever.
Keeps air out, flavor in. Just turn the tap for a glass of crisp, refreshing Chardonnay.
Where'd you find it?
Premium Wine Section near Woodbridge.
Bet a woman invented it.
Why's that?
Clever, practical, don't need a tool to open it.
Good taste is worth repeating. The new Premium Wine Cask, only from Corbett Canyon. Canyon. Corbett Canyon Vineyards, San Luis Obispo, California.
Honey, I'm healthy. I don't need to sign up for a Medicare drug plan.
But Mom, Uncle Luis is just 71 and he takes so many pills. I mean, you never know.
I never thought of it that way.
The more you know about Medicare prescription drug coverage, the better it sounds.
Let me help you sign up. It's peace of mind.
I didn't do so bad with you, did I?
Mama.
For help, call 1-800-MEDICARE, go to Medicare.gov, or turn to each other. To avoid penalties, sign up by May 15th. Paid for by the Department of Health and Human Services.
Now, this is good news for those of us who get our morning jolt from a soft drink, not coffee.
Here's ABC's Joan Bennett.
Just last week, government researchers said they found insignificant levels of benzene in soft drinks they tested. This week, FDA officials said a different study found benzene at four times the limit considered safe for tap water in 19 of 24 samples of diet soda they tested, though they said it doesn't pose safety concerns. Most people drink a lot less soda than water. Benzene can form in a can or bottle that contains vitamin C, sodium, and a common preservative. Heat, light, and shelf life can determine whether the cancer causer linked to leukemia forms naturally in soft drinks. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Well, maybe they really, will read this just for the articles. The new edition of Playboy goes on sale tomorrow in mostly Muslim Indonesia. It will not have any photos of nude women in it, but Islamic leaders still don't like it, and they want to shut it down. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
St. Louis, this is Patrick Ryan-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, the Madison County Sheriff's Department is asking the public for help in finding a vehicle that struck a teenage boy. Police say a 13-year-old Alton boy suffered broken ribs when he was struck by a pickup truck while riding his bike Tuesday night on West Delmar in Godfrey. The teen was treated at a hospital and is recovering at home. The truck is described as a full-size black or dark blue pickup with a yellow bar on top. Anyone with information is asked to call police at 618-692-4433. The Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests is hoping the state can provide oversight to church-run facilities that house accused child molesters. David Clossy, National Director of SNAP, says the group wants Governor Matt Blunt to look into whether there are laws governing these facilities, and if not, consider passing legislation. Clossy says there are dozens of pedophile priests living in these centers, and more are being transferred here all the time. The latest, former priest Robert Larson, is on his way to live at St. John Vianney Center in Dittmer after serving time in Kansas for child molestation. Finally this hour, NBC's Today Show morning personality Katie Couric is leaving her post to become the anchor of the CBS Evening News. Kent Collins, the chair of the radio and television faculty at the University of Missouri School of Journalism, says the change will require Couric to make some changes herself.
There will be a transition in her style to some degree. Certainly Perky won't play on the CBS Evening News. It's going to be something different than Perky. Perky worked in the morning.
Collins says because of who Katie Couric is and the following she has, it may force a change in the style and substance of the CBS newscast. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Stop by Napa and get Gunk Engine Bright for just 49 cents after a $1.50 mail-in rebate. Whether you're detailing your engine or just cleaning it off, Gunk will get the job done. Napa, get the good stuff. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. Eastbound 44 from 141 to the Miraz overpass. Look for no problems to report. Northbound 55 at Imperial Main and Merrimack Bottom. No problems there. Northbound 270 at Gravelway and Marshall. Look for traffic to be building this hour. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason. It's also building there as well. Eastbound 70 from TR Hughes all the way into 79. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 at 5th Street and 270. Look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 from Brentwood to Hanley. You've got a bit of a sluggish start there. Westbound 5570 from 64 on the PSB. Slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 64 at Powell Avenue and the PSB. Look for no problems to report there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Gravel Pit all the way in Laclede's Landing. Look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound Route 3 from Monsanto onto the PSB. It is slow. There's a few areas where the traffic lights are not working and they're on red flash, so treat them as a four-way stop. Highway Z at Perry Cut Road, look for an injury accident. That's out in Winsville, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. What's the most important safety feature on your car? Midas believes it's the person who does your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas touch. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today and tomorrow, mostly cloudy this morning, partly sunny by this afternoon, a 50% chance of showers, high in mid-70s. This evening, partly cloudy late, then becoming mostly cloudy overnight with showers and thunderstorms likely throughout the evening and into the overnight hours. Storms may produce damaging wind and large hail in the evening hours. The low should be in the upper 50s. And on Friday, partly sunny sky or partly cloudy skies with a 50% chance of showers again. The high will be in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have cloudy conditions, a little bit of mist out there, and our current temperature sits at 60 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 59 under clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. It's the Eye on the Loose segment with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you listen?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time now for Eye on the Loo. Redistricting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls, battles in Jefferson City, knockdown dragouts at the Board of Aldermen. Who is who?
Welcome, 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 welcome to Eye on the Loo. This is Liz Brown. It's Thursday morning at 7 o'clock. So, this morning we are joined by Irene J. Smith. Irene, good morning.
Good morning, Liz, and your listening audience.
This morning, what do we have to talk about?
Ooh, you know, school board election returns and what's turned out on the propositions, a host of other things. And
okay, well, let's get started on this. Let's get started on talking about the election results. Talk to me about it.
Well, one thing for sure, we know who the winners were. Peter Downs and Donna Jones, is my understanding they will be sworn in today in a civil ceremony today. Not sure what time, but we are very glad of that.
Irene, let's talk about this from the perspective of the seriousness of this and the significance of this particular result. We did a survey or an analysis last week of the people that were missing in action in their support of Slay's candidates on this. And let's talk about how big is this that this election took place? I mean that the results of this election occurred as they did.
I think it's very huge. I think it's certainly goes to the influence of the mayor, his lack of influence. Mm-hmm. However, you know, we did the analysis on the missing in action, and I think it might be good to kind of look at those who were missing in action but nonetheless wanted to attempt to support the mayor on a rather, as we say, down low position. There were several ballots out there that had the mayor's candidates on it, say with maybe Peter Downs, like Donetta Klingsteel and Peter Downs. I saw one.
Well, and let's talk. Let's kind of go through some of those wards, because you and I on election day we went driving the city, picking up ballots and looking at the ballots and looking at voter turnout and poll workers and signage and all of that. So when we look at, let's go north for a second. There was one ballot from Chink Washington.
That's correct.
And he is with, what ward is he?
The 21st
ward. The 21st ward. That was a very interesting ballot. Now, the ballot is the piece of paper that you get when you go in, mostly a lot of times representing a ward organization or an older person or someone that wants to endorse or to vote for a certain person. Chink put out his green piece of paper with his endorsement, and they were perplexing, to say the least.
Yes, because as we know, Mr. Washington is the Democratic committee man.
Democratic committee man of the
21st ward, and his ballot was quite interesting. Peter Downs was on his ballot, and James Buford, who we know is a registered Republican,
enthusiastic George Bush supporting Republican.
Right.
And most of the, I mean, if you'd gone to his last dinner where there were over 1,000 people with the Urban League, the latest appointments to his boards. All look like George W. Bush, you know. So we know where he stands politically. So it's odd that you have someone like Chink, a Democrat,
and I would say a diehard Democrat.
Diehard Democrat. What's up with that?
There were some people that said, you know, this is a black man, you know, and then I look at it from the standpoint of this gender thing as well. Mm-hmm. You know, Donna Jones was certainly from the African-American community.
Living in 27th Ward.
Living in 27th Ward. Of course, she did not get anything out of the 27th Ward.
Nothing.
They took the mayor's candidates, everybody in the ward. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've talked about the committee woman and Curtis Roston, but the alderman, you know, his name was up there, biggest day.
That's right.
Gregory Carter supporting
Slay's team
as well. Interesting. Let's talk about the 26th.
Okay.
A 26th ward, you know, we had this conversation with the committee man,
Joe Palm,
who indicated, sisters, you know, there ain't no way. No way I would take the mayor's people, you know, the mayor's people, so.
Well, and wait a minute, let's do a little bit of history here. You took the mayor's people in the mayoral race.
Exactly.
Over the sister that he was talking to. You took the mayor's candidate in the circuit attorney's race over an African man. So for us to conclude that you would continue along that line, it would be illogical not to do so. So, okay, so we get over to the 26th ward.
I can't even say unnerved me, because I'm accustomed to it, I've seen it before, is you have individuals who, if you are supporting somebody and you're taking a position,
just say it.
But this is what they will do. Situation in the 26th ward, rode over there to take my mom, to take my mother to vote in, and another senior to vote, because we were all over passing out ballots to get people to the polls. We have a ballad from Joe Palm that had Peter Downs on it by itself, mm-hmm. no one else. Mm-hmm. But the young lady who was also working for, and I did inquire, that was also working for Joe Palm was also passing out Mr. Clark's ballot.
All by itself.
All by itself. You know, so when a voter would walk up, you would hand two ballots to the individual. Now, if Joe Palm wanted to, you know, support Mr. Clark, I mean, why don't you just do it?
And say it. Because the what's so unusual about that, Irene, is that most ward organizations don't have a whole lot of money.
Okay? Right.
They don't. And you try to be frugal, you try to be strategic, you try to not waste. And so you put out one ballot. You don't print up, because these were not handwritten ballots. They were printed ballots on green paper. So the question becomes, why would you print up two separate ballots, unless there was an attempt to be political as opposed to a public servant? You wanted some wiggle room or some distance room to be able to, what do they call that, throw the rock and hide the hand type of a thing. If you are supporting them, why did you instruct your worker to hand out both of them?
To me, it could be, you know, well, maybe we can pay for the same poll worker, but
It's one ballot.
It's one ballot, you know, or it could be just as you indicated. It's game playing
mm-hmm,
to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that it's not novel. I mean, it's happened before. Others have done it before. You know?
Haven't thought of anything dishonest that other people haven't thought of.
No, it's nothing unusual. I mean, it has happened before.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you look at that from the standpoint of this individual, Joe Palm, who is attempting to become the state rep of the 57th district, then I think that's something that people should consider in doing a character assessment.
And a trust issue, because as a committee person, your job is to come to the community based upon your research, based upon your efforts, based upon your digging into a particular candidate or a particular issue. They look to you to do your job and say, this is who our community should support. And the misdirection of this, or the clear attempt here to not be clear, you know, makes you have to say, okay, well, if you're going to do this as a committee person, and when it's your job to tell us clearly who is the best person for the community, if you're doing this now as a committee person, what kind of political games are you going to engage in? What kind of dancing, what kind of contortions are you going to do when you get up to Jefferson City, where the issues are bigger than who you should vote for circuit attorney for the city of St. Louis?
Exactly. And that's the issue. It's like, if you support something, if you need to stand on a position, and you believe that,
yeah.
I mean, just stand on that and defend your position.
And take the hits, as opposed to, I want to be able to craft out a place where when Irene J. Smith comes to me and says, why did you do this? I can appease her. And then when somebody completely opposite of Irene J. Smith comes to me, I can defend myself with her, too. That's political. That does us no good. And that's dishonest.
It is. And I think the quote of the lady walking up to the polls as we was there is very relevant here. She says, you mean to tell me that Joe Palm can take this Caucasian man who I'm supporting?
Mm-hmm.
He said, but where is Donna Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't Donna Jones on his ballot? And he's running for state rep. Oh, I'm going to remember that in August.
Mm. So, and you should. I mean, because the bottom line is, the only person that we know 100%, and sometimes not always 100%, is ourselves. So we have to trust that somebody is going to do right when they get up there. And you have to look at all of someone's behavior to determine the trust factor. And this was not a trustworthy thing to do. Stand on it. If you want those two people,
Just stand on it. I mean, if you are supporting Mr. Clark, then, you know, say, I'm supporting you. Don't wiggle on it. You know, well, you pass out. I tell you what, sister, just when the people come up, pass out my ballot and pass out his ballot, too.
Stand on it.
Let's go over to the 22nd Ward.
All right.
We went to the 22nd Ward, picked up a ballot, and then the the committee people in that ward, they supported the winning slate, Donna Jones and Peter Downs. The alderman, on the other hand, supported...
it went back to the Joe Clark and Peter Downs.
And Peter Downs.
And again, Irene, you and I have had this discussion, and Jamala Rogers brought the question up at the event with Maxine Waters, that I was on the panel with Maxine Waters over at UMSL. And this issue of women... This issue of, she asked the question of the panel, you know, what has it been like for you as a woman in these male-dominated fields that we're in? You have been an elected official, and you and I have had this discussion about how women are treated and viewed. You think there's some sexism going on?
I think there's some sexism going on. I also think, as you have kind of analyzed it, to look at it from another view, is that, well, we want to support, you know, we're going to try to help you, Mr. Mayor, you know, because as we indicated, as when I talked to Mr. Clark, I talked to him over at the pie on Shreve and Lee, and I told him, I said, you know, the top candidates are Jones and Downs, and from my standpoint, and we think they embrace a position, so it kind of will pull votes away, you know, but I wish you well. So, and maybe, honestly, you know, Jeffrey Boyd felt that Mr. Clark and Mr. Downs were the best candidates, okay? And so at least he did better than Joe Palm. You know, at least
because
he said,
name,
hey.
His name and his face
was on the ballot. So obviously he's saying these are the people I support. So he stood on his, and you certainly have to respect the person for that. But then the issue of here you have an African-American female from your community, but she does not deserve the support of you in this situation. But I mean, that's rather consistent with, you know, the same position he took in the mayor's race. Okay, so that's something
Jeffrey Boyd
took, as well as Joe Palm in the mayor's race. And they're certainly free to make their decisions. But I think people need to look at, you know, when it comes, it's very interesting. We get folks that they blacker than thou when it's them on the line. Okay, but then when it comes to perhaps a female individual in particular, and then someone such as Gerald in the circuit attorney's race, then, oh, man, now, see, well, I got to look at it. We got some other things that we can't quite discuss with you. We can't really totally tell you what's going on, but we got to support the other candidates who happens to be, you know, white or happens to be overwhelmingly male.
Or with Francis Slay. Because, I mean, one of the things that has come to me that was brought home to me in this election, and because I live in the 27th ward, you were just kind of talking about what some alder people say, some committee people say in their defense of really the indefensible endorsements, that there's something behind the scene, that there's some hush-hush thing that we're getting on the back end, and so trust us on there is this strategical reason why we are endorsing this person. That's not an endorsement. That is a strategized political act. And because it's a political act, you are falling down on your responsibility as a committee person in your endorsement, because nobody voted for you to endorse in a cagey way. They voted on you to endorse based upon who was best for the community. And if you have someone like a Jennifer Joyce that is so bad to people as a whole, for you to say to your community, well, I got this back deal thing going on about somebody else, so go ahead and vote for her. Not because she's good for her job, not because she's good for her community, but because I got some backdoor, back deal thing brewing on the back. That's not an endorsement. That's a political act, not an act of a public servant.
Well, let me say this, Liz. I mean, we talk about this public servant, political act. All of it is a political act. The question is whether or not it's a political act that is in the best interest of our overall community.
Are they serving our community?
Are they serving the community? And then what they will say in defense is, well, wait, now we got something going on special for the 27th ward. Now we can't go into details about it, but trust me on this. And then you get the thing when people are running for committee
you running for the committee woman role or the committee man role. And then what has things have come about where people hide behind their ward organization.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we made an agreement. After I, even though you ran on, you know, support me, you know, I'm the committee person, I'm going to endorse people. Then after that, they come in, they say, okay, we're going to make an agreement that as a ward organization, we will come in and we will vote, okay? And even though the person may not be good for our community, we will stand behind what the ward organization does.
Hiding.
You know, and so you get this thing, well, not me, it was the ward organization, you know, and I didn't want to go against the ward organization. Well, the ward organization is the individuals that make it up.
And also,
and I'll tell you this, the ward organizations, a lot of ward organizations have members. Say, for example, over in, what ward was it? The 8th Ward, where they had the breakdown of the number,
right.
Where the people that are part of the ward organization actually voted.
Mm-hmm.
In this situation, say for example, in the 27th ward, the ward organization that they're referring to, I guess, is this executive body with Pam Boyd,
Curtis Royston,
Curtis Royston, Harold Crompton,
who doesn't live in the 27th ward.
I mean, if it's the same way it was when I ran for mayor, Wally Amusa, who doesn't live in the 27th ward, you know, and Connie Johnson, who had a dentist appointment and didn't know that I was coming to be interviewed at that time, and Greg, who of course works at night, and I understand that, who was not there as well. But you have these individuals who make up the 27th ward organization. It's my understanding, perhaps two of them may not even live in the 27th ward. And so you have these elected officials. And in this situation, we're talking about Connie Johnson, Greg Carter, Curtis Roston, hiding behind the ward organization and saying, well, it wasn't me, it's a ward organization.
And I just have to remind folks, when you go into the when you on election day and your committee man or committee woman is up for election or reelection, you're not voting for a ward organization. You're voting for an individual that is promising you that they will come out and do the work, do the research, do the homework on who is the best person for our community. Not because of any kind of backdoor deal that you got going on. Who's the best person? And then stand on it. And don't blame anybody else for your endorsement. You were voted in as an individual. You have to stand on it as an individual.
Interesting. Speaking of which, 22nd ward. Of course, we know Maddie Moore was with the winning slate.
And can we hold that thought,
yeah,
please? Because we have to take a break right now. I am Liz Brown. This is Eye on the Lou. I'm here with Irene J. Smith because this is Eye on the Lou. Stay with us, folks.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Accountemps. Eastbound 44 at Antire and Soccer Park. Everything looks good. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to Big Bend. Stop and go traffic. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 from 5th Street on to 270. Look for slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 40 from Ballast through Lindbergh. You can expect some sluggish pockets going on there. Westbound 5570 at 64 and the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 64 at Bow Avenue. The Poplar Street Bridge looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank on to Laclede's Landing. Look for slow traffic. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street on to the DSB. It is slow, and there are various areas that still have power outages, so the four-way stops, if they are blinking red lights, treat them as a four-way stop intersection. Chesterfield Airport at Long Road, there's a report of an accident as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Accountemps, the world's first and largest specialized financial staffing firm. Call or visit them today at Accountemps.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today and tomorrow. For today, mostly cloudy in the morning. Partly sunny throughout the day, but a chance for showers this afternoon. High in the mid-70s this evening. Partly cloudy late, then
Showers and thunderstorms are likely throughout the evening and overnight hours. Some storms may be severe and produce damaging winds and large hail. In the evening, the low should be in the upper 50s. And on Friday, partly cloudy skies, a 50% chance of showers with a high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have overcast skies and 54 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 55 and overcast skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in weekday afternoons from 2 till 5 on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's take on the day together.
Who's the hero where you work? The receptionist that can balance 12 things at once? The whiz kid that can change a toner cartridge without making a mess? The assistant that finds everything you misplace? Well, now it's your turn. All you have to do is drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, and you could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. We'll draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and you'll be the hero of your workplace on Monday when we deliver a basket full of assorted goodies from Great Harvest Bread, Thomas Premium Blend Coffee, and WGNU Radio. Contest ends May 29, 2006. Employees of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. So go ahead, be a hero. Visit the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store at 9449 Olive Boulevard. Leave a business card and that's it. You could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. Sponsored by the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Listen, folks, here's an opportunity for you. Saturday, April 8th from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. at Lee Auditorium at the History Museum. Focus St. Louis is bringing you Race, Power, and Money. My Face is Black True, a book discussion with none other than Dr. Mary Frances Berry. She chaired the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, and she will discuss her book, My Face is Black is True, Callie House and the Struggle for the Ex-Slave Reparations. This is, again, on Saturday from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. at Lee Auditorium, $5 per person, $4 for Missouri History Museum members. Reservations required. Please call 361-9017. That's 361-9017. A discussion with Dr. Mary Frances Berry, the woman who chaired the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. She will be discussing the book, Race, Power, and Money, My Face is Black is True.
Were you aware that big changes are on the way for the welfare system come October? Congress has decided that states are not doing enough to get people off of aid programs and back into the job market. This could result in states losing billions of dollars if they don't develop plans the government approves of by as early as June. State governments say if they don't keep the flexibility they currently have to put people back into the job market, the whole plan is doomed to fail. You need to be listening Friday morning at 8 for an informative look at the possible end of the welfare program as we know it with Daniel Vock, staff writer and researcher for Stateline.org, here on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Eye on the Loo. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. I'm Liz Brown. Irene, welcome back.
All right.
All right. We are talking about the election results and the things that we discovered in our excellent journey across the city of St. Louis on Election Day. We've talked about the 27th Ward a bit. Let's move to the 2nd Ward.
2nd Ward, when we went up to...
Dionne Flowers, Claude Brown,
Maddie Moore, as we indicated. Maddie supported the winning slate.
Very excitedly, very enthusiastically, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, out there just working it, you know, pushing the winning slate.
Mm-hmm. And also she's the vice chair.
She's the vice chair of the State Democratic Party. And although she occupies a state level Democratic position, she was out there working.
There you go.
She was out there working, moving people around, checking on things, actually standing out at the polls, sometimes talking to people. One up in the 2nd Ward, who is Claude Brown and Dionne Flowers, supporting the mayor's slate.
That was about the last stop that we made,
mm-hmm.
I think it was.
Last stop we made, so mm-hmm. we headed back to the first.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We asked the workers there whether or not there was a ballot,
mm-hmm.
and they handed us the generic ballot that...
Well, it wasn't even a ballot. This is generic information. There was no ballot. There was
right.
no ballot.
It's just a little check mark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we said, were there any other ballots? They said, no, this is what we're passing out. Of course, it ended up, and we did not know that at that time, that was Donetta Klinksteel's son and another young crew of... African-American males, females.
Mm-hmm. That were working the thing. But what was interesting was the fact that at least at that spot, there were, and I asked the worker specifically, had you had a ballot? And they indicated that they didn't even know that a ballot was something that was normally handed out.
Right.
Because most of these people that were working, and we found that consistent with all of the a lot of the people that were handing out the slate information, they were newbies to the political process. Some of them were teenagers, and they were very young people. So they weren't familiar with everything that was going on, or that goes on in an election
exactly.
like this. So they didn't know about a ballot, and they certainly hadn't handed out a ballot while they were standing out there. What can we make out of that fact, Irene, that the 2nd Ward appears to not have put out a ballot?
If what appears is actually perhaps is, you know, their name was certainly on there in small writing, you know.
Whose name was on what?
On the piece of paper that was handed out, you know, they had their list of supporters
mm-hmm.
on there.
Mm-hmm.
Dionne is running for the automatic seat next year.
Mm-hmm.
It is anticipated that certainly she will have some opposition.
And that's next year.
And that's next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know whether or not there was some thought that they wanted to kind of minimize maybe some potential backlash.
I don't know. It's a curious thing that the second...
But normally they have not, you know, normally if they support someone, you know, Dionne...
And particularly Claude Brown.
Exactly.
And now talk to us about who Claude Brown is, because that's a fascinating fact that Claude Brown did not, considering what he's done and what it's reported that he has done, it's fascinating that he didn't put out a ballot.
If he didn't put out a ballot.
Mm-hmm.
I think the mayor appointed him to MSD's board, maybe. I know he's been appointed to several boards. He's with, I guess, Vigilant
communications or consulting or whatever.
He's an operative. He's a political operative. He's a go-to guy, has been a go-to guy from the Slay crew of how do we get ballots out, how do we penetrate the black market, the community of African descent's market, how do we do that? And it's been reported that he was behind a lot of the PR stuff that came out on behalf of Darnetta Klingstell Schemel and Jim Buford Slay.
That's very true. He's also a member of the NAACP. He's the one that said after Mr. Crompton held a press conference.
Trying to get a white bigot his job back.
Right. Mm-hmm. And basically Mr. Brown was not present at that press conference, and he's the one that said no comment.
Mm. So the fact that it's been reported again, he's behind a lot of the PR that went out on behalf of Darnetta Klingstell, it's fascinating that there was no literature, but he too will be facing re-election in a year. And I don't know. I mean, it's very interesting that neither one of them, because I don't know that, Claude Brown's name was on the literature that Slay put out, and Dion Flowers' name was on the literature that Slay put out, but not to have, I mean, you're a former alderperson.
Yeah, he's got a little more than a year to run for office. Okay. That's huge to me.
Mm-hmm.
If, in fact, that was the case. Like I said, at the polling site that we went to, those individuals said that they had been there all day, mm-hmm. that the literature that they was handing up was what all they had was all the handouts that they had, and they did not have a ballot. So, we're going to check with Maddie, because I'm sure she would know mm-hmm. if there was an opposition ballot out there, because she was working all over her ward on election day. Let's people and say, well, what about the first? Well, up in the first, interesting situation. The committee people, I think on Friday, finally met or something, resolved their differences, whatever, with Peter Downs. So they put out a ballot for the winning slate. Additionally, not knowing what my committee people are actually going to do, I wanted to make sure that there was a ballot out for the winning slate, Peter Downs and Donna Jones. So I, of course, also just paid and had a ballot put out in the first ward as well as none other than, that troublemaker talk show host Liz Brown.
Very good.
And so that was interesting, and as well as Carla May, who is running for the state rep of the 57th district, she didn't exactly put out a ballot. She put out some literature. Of course, that's an opportunity for candidates who are coming up in August to get information out about themselves as well. So, of course, she was up there. She had people out handing out literature, telling them to come out to vote for Peter Downs and Donna Jones. And, of course, she had, I'm a candidate, but I'm not asking you. I'm not talking about that right now. It's important that you come out and vote. And you have to commend her for that. I mean, she did do that. She did canvass and say, come out to vote. She had someone out. I saw a brother that's a pipe fitter, I believe, this guy, he might be a plumber. But anyway, brother out on election day, canvassing, going door to door, trying to get people out, dropping literature, and she did that. Our committee people did the same thing, going, passing out some literature, and they had workers on the polls.
And they had their signs on the polls as well.
They had
their signs at the polls.
And in the first ward, and I could speak for that, the other state rep, candidates, Bartlett, he had his signs out.
He had a couple signs out.
Former 20th Ward Alderwoman Sharon Tyers, she had someone actually standing handing out literature about the August election. Now, mind you, the election that was most important at this time was the school board election. That person was just handing out literature mm-hmm. about the August election and not about the school board election.
So there was no stance on the school board election?
And to my knowledge, based on the information that was passed out.
And we have to take a break. This is Eye on the Lou. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. This is Liz Brown. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us.
Time again to register. enter for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline New York. The New York Times has done an analysis of tax data pertaining to the impact on tax cuts for investment income. The results show that the Bush plan has lowered the tax burden on the richest Americans, those with incomes of over $10 million a year, by an average of $500,000. The investment tax cuts went into effect 3 years ago, but until now there was no information to show what they had produced for income from dividends and from capital gains. If coupled with the two other Bush tax cuts, high-income people see a savings of around $1 million a year. Taxpayers with incomes of over $1 million a year, which make up 0.1% of all taxpayers, got 43% of all the savings on the investment taxes in 2003. That averages out to about $41,000 each. But the other two tax cut programs gave them less than 10% of the savings because they were mainly tied to wages. Only the super wealthy are doing the best with this arrangement, though, because the alternative minimum tax is raking in a lot of what is being lost on those deductions. The alternative minimum tax is expected to impact almost 20 million taxpayers who make from a few million to as little as $30,000. And that'll continue unless Congress changes the law to limit its effects. People who made under $50,000 saw a savings of about $10 due to the investment tax cuts. And if you couple that amount with the other two Bush tax cuts, well, their total savings comes out to about $450 a year. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
This is an opportunity for you folks. The Missouri History Museum's Race, Power, and Money program this Saturday. This Saturday, the issue is, the discussion is Race, Power, and Money. My Face is Black is True. This is a book discussion with Dr. Mary Frances Berry. She's the woman who chaired the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. She's discussing her book, My Face is Black is True, this Saturday from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Lee Auditorium, $5 per person, $4 for Missouri History Museum members. Reservations are required. Please call 367-9017. That's 361-9017, 361-9017. A discussion this Saturday from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Race, Power, and Money, the discussion of the book by Dr. Mary Frances Berry, My Face is Black is True, this Saturday from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. Call 361-9017.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else indeed are you going to get your big screen televisions, your little screen televisions, the best customer service in the region right there at 3425 Union. Jerome, come on. Jerome Williams, need to get on over to 3425 Union. Sears. My name is Liz Brown. When it's time to get your shop on, get on over to Sears this weekend and tell them I told you to. It's tax time. Where are you going to go to get them done? Only one place. Richard Smith's Tax Service, 367-1282. Why? Because he's honest. Because they're dependable. Because they're respectful. And because they have a check cashing place right there. You can cash your check right there at 1408 North Kings Highway, Suite 113A. He's been there before the other guys got here, and he'll be here after they leave. Richard Smith's Tax Service, 367-1282.
He was sitting on the side of the bed reading old love letters. Tears were slowly rolling down her cheek. He walked over and put his hand on her shoulder. She looked up and smiled and started to speak.
Jim Stafford's got a brand new show, 335-8080.
See Jim Stafford's brand new show, 335-8080.
Go see Jim Stafford and take someone you love.
Were you aware that big changes are on the way for the welfare system come October? Congress has decided that states are not doing enough to get people off of aid programs and back into the job market. This could result in states losing billions of dollars if they don't develop plans the government approves of by as early as June. State governments say if they don't keep the flexibility they currently have to put people back into the job market, the whole plan is doomed to fail. You need to be listening Friday morning at 8 for an informative look at the possible end of the welfare program as we know it with Daniel Vaughn, staff writer and researcher for Stateline.org, here on the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning wake-up call.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Eye on the Loo with Irene J. Smith. Irene, we were talking about what the behavior of some folks that were not running for or that were not on the ballot for this past election.
Well, I can appreciate the fact that candidates for future elections want to get the word out about themselves. I always find it a bit disturbing because it was kind of distracting. And so,
you mean from a pragmatic
standpoint, you
know, because you're saying that voters can be confused about all these people.
Exactly. I mean, and I wish, you know, from my standpoint, I wish that people were passing out the literature, at least would have waited until the candidates, I mean, the voters came out. But I have to commend because a couple of candidates was out there. They were working the election, you know. Amber was out there working the election for the school board candidates. I did not see one piece of literature about her running for the Senate in August. Now, can I say the same about that for my state rep, Yaphet El-Amin, who was running? You know, they had
signs
out, literature out, and I understand, believe me, I understand the need to get your word out, your message out, but I think it's a bit confusing. I also want to compliment Jamila Nasheed, who was out there working the election, and initially, for the better part of the day, did not have any of her own literature out there, did not have any signage out there, but just was focusing on the school board candidates trying to get the word out. But once she saw that at least one of her, what I would say, a major opponent in the 60th district race, Sharon Tyers had someone who was totally focused on getting her literature out. Then, of course, she herself went telling people to vote. She was telling people to vote for Donna Jones and Peter Downs. And then she later on in the day started passing out her literature. But I think it's important that we look at that. You know, people were out. They were getting out. At least my state rep, she was also out passing out Donna Jones and Peter Downs ballots and telling people to vote for them as she was getting out information about herself.
But we also have to underscore the fact that Yaphet is a committee woman.
Exactly.
And Amber is not a committee woman.
Right.
Okay, so I mean, there are different responsibilities as individuals.
That's true.
Yaphet was supposed to be passing out ballots. So we have to evaluate all of this as we, you know, critically look at who we're going to support. We have to, because we don't, the only people that we know 100% are ourselves. So we have to, every move that you make, every step you take, we're going to be watching.
And it's going to be close analysis on this race. And I guess someone would say, well, don't be fair. You guys point out the fact that Kenneth Jones was out there working it for Donna Jones.
Wait a minute. Let me just tell you something. I live in the 27th ward. I had Kenny Jones, a sheet of paper with, although Kenny Jones's name was frequently mentioned within the document, it was largely, mostly about why you needed to support Donna Jones and Peter Downs. I live in the 27th ward, and I had stuff in my door well before the election. So he was working it well before the election.
And a member from the Santa Fossils Rock Church told me, she called me, she said, I came out of church Sunday. She said, and guess what was on my windshield? She said, something from Kenny Jones about the school board
election.
And
that's the 19th ward.
And that's the 19th ward. So all of this has to be looked into because we want representation of individuals who will represent our community's best interests. Now, I am not suggesting, in no way suggesting this, simply because Kenny Jones passed out literature about Donna Jones and Peter Downs, that's the candidate of choice for the 4th senatorial seat. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying that we need to look closely at the behavior of individuals. And also we factor in the fact that folks are running for office, so sometimes folks want to appear to be blacker than thou right now.
Or politically concerned than thou. You know, I mean, people want to give an impression about themselves, about who they are, and we're trying to put out all of the information that we have at our disposal about what people are actually doing. And as we get closer to the race, we'll begin the discussion and the distilling of all of the information and the actions that people have engaged in. Joe Palm, it was very problematic, the information, the manner in which he put his information out there. We will continue to watch that and look at it to let you know what his behavior is like.
On the other hand, I think in fairness, you know, I have to mention that Talladega Nellamine, he supported the winning slate. He was out there. He's a committee man, okay? He was out there. He put out a ballot. He said where he stood in terms of who he was encouraging the voters to vote for, the winning slate, or the people's slate, in my estimation.
And then somebody would ask, well, when did he come out for him?
Right.
You know, I mean, so what was the timing of that? You know, so there are all of these things.
All
you know,
of these things. People
matters.
Are looking at it.
It matters.
And he was out there on that day working it. For our candidates,
mm-hmm.
okay?
And putting out his own information.
And putting out his own information as well.
Mm-hmm.
But he is a committee person, so he's supposed to be out there doing that. So, but at least, I mean, and some people have said that, yeah, well, you decided to support him at the slate at the...
It's something to be evaluated.
It's something to be evaluated. You know. But he stood on what he was supporting, mm-hmm. unlike Joe Palm, mm-hmm. who I think was trying to be slick.
Mm-hmm. And that brings us to an end. You know what? We need to catch up on Word on the Street.
Yes, we do.
Okay, we need to catch up on that because sometimes we get so caught up in this other information. Tell you what, we will do something very special for next week on Word on the Street because y'all need to know what the Word on the Street is. Irene J. Smith, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And congratulations for efforts beyond, above and beyond on this election.
And I just want to send a shout out to the elderly lady that we picked up from the 27th ward, who was over in the first ward because her polling site had been changed, and she got off the bus and she was a little confused. I just commend her because she drove and she wasn't sure where she was going, so she went back home and caught the bus.
That's right, to vote.
To vote. This election. So I just want to send out a shout out to Miss Vivian, who lives over on Drury Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, and thank you, the
you
workers.
Were inspiring. You were
you,
inspiring.
The workers who work for little or nothing, basically a sandwich mm-hmm. on election day out of the first. Thank you so very much, Chuck. Thank you for volunteering. We love you. We just need more people like you.
And that'll bring it to a close today. Irene J. Smith, thank you so much. And I will be back. We will be back. Same time, same place next week.
All right.
All right. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. A new phase in the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui begins within the hour. The jury will decide if the only person charged in the 9/11 attacks will be executed. This time, they won't just hear from the relatives of the dead. One of the first witnesses, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani.
Lawyers say Giuliani will most likely testify for the prosecution this week, describing New York's ordeal at the hands of the 9/11 terrorists. The jury will also hear the cockpit voice recordings from United Flight 93 that was headed to Washington but instead crashed in Pennsylvania as passengers struggled to grab control back from the terrorists. 9/11 families have heard those tapes. This would be the first time they've been made public.
ABC's Andy Field in Washington. Republicans have a bill, so do Democrats, and the Senate could be headed for a showdown today over immigration reform. Both plans allow for some guest workers, which could affect nearly 11 million illegal immigrants. Duke University is looking for a new lacrosse coach. The man who had the jobs resigned amid allegations that three of his players raped a stripper at a party after a game. This student says the coach had no other choice.
As the coach of the team, he has a... responsibility as a whole for the team and their actions, whether he condones them or not. So I think it was the right thing to do.
The team's canceled the rest of its schedule. One player has been suspended from school over an email that he allegedly wrote in which he said he wanted to skin and kill strippers. At least 15 people are dead and many others are hurt in the latest attack in Iraq, a suicide car bomb that exploded near a holy shrine in the city of Najaf.
Well, this will certainly fuel ongoing sectarian tension in the country. Najaf is about 80 miles south of Baghdad in an area that is mostly Shia. And, of course, any attacks that seem to be targeting Shia or specifically Sunni is going to fuel that sectarian violence.
And that's ABC's Stephanie Gusk in Baghdad. This is ABC News.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
A generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services Number, NASD and SIPC.
Top three reasons I'm sprucing up my home this spring. Number three, if you could see my yard, well, you'd understand. Number two, I've wanted a new kitchen for, oh, about 2 decades. And the number one reason, I can do it all this spring, but pay for it later.
Now through April 9th, get special deferred financing on purchases throughout the store when you use your Home Depot consumer credit card. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid in U.S. only. See stores for details.
It could be the first case of bird flu in Great Britain, a dead swan in Scotland. More from ABC's Linda Alban in London.
The verdict is still out, but it's believed that the dead swan found in the tiny Scottish coastal community may well carry the deadly H5N1 virus, prompting immediate action by Scotland's veterinary officials.
We have implemented movement restrictions in the area around where the swan was identified.
The swan's carcass had bites on it, and members of the public are being asked to be on the lookout for any dead animals. The public, meanwhile, is being urged to continue to eat poultry products normally. Linda Alban, ABC News, London.
So you find yourself at the Atlanta airport and you're bored. What do you do? Well, here's a suggestion. Take your credit card or a lot of quarters if you happen to have them and head for the iPod vending machine. That's right, the iPod vending machine. Swipe it out, comes an iPod, Nano, or Shuffle. The downside, you still have to download the music on it, and if you don't like it, you can't exactly return it to the machine. Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Sanford Friendmeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a reward is being offered in the search for a St. Genevieve County teen. 17-year-old Wade Michael Lurk was last seen early Saturday morning leaving a party at Goose Creek Lake. Lurk is white, 5'8", and 160 pounds, with brown hair and brown eyes, and was driving a white 1990 Nissan Stanza with Missouri license plate 720WWC. His family is offering a $5,000 reward for information leading to his whereabouts. Anyone with information is asked to call the St. Genevieve County Sheriff's Department at 573-883-5820 or Crime Stoppers at 1-866-371-TIPS. Relatives of Missouri Rehabilitation Center patients are pushing for the state-operated facilities to stay open. Family members of residents at the Bell Fountain Rehabilitation Center say they are being told that the center will close and their relatives must move to private centers, but the state has not provided information about incident reports at private residential care facilities. Mary Vitale, whose brother has lived at Bell Fountain for more than 40 years, says the state centers need to stay open and be improved rather than be shut down.
What I would hope to see is that the time and the energy and money is spent on staff development to where they have the training to help these persons with mental retardation.
Despite recent reports of staff neglect leading to deaths at another St. Louis area rehabilitation center, Vitale says many staffers are doing a wonderful job under difficult circumstances. Finally this hour, Yadier Molina laced a 2-out RBI single in the 9th inning to lift the Cardinals to a 4-3 win over the Phillies last night. Jason Isringhausen wiggled out of trouble to earn the save and make a winner out of Brad Thompson, who worked a perfect 8th. Skip Schumacher blasted his first career homer, and Albert Pujols ripped his 3rd in just 2 games this season to power the Cards offense. On the mound, Mark Mulder pitched 7 solid innings, allowing 3 runs on 7 hits as the Redbirds improved at 2-0. For the Phillies, Jimmy Rollins went 2-for-4 to extend his hitting streak to 38 games. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. With warmer weather just around the corner, get your car looking good with Turtle Wax Ice Synthetic Car Polish. Now only $13.99 at Napa Auto Parts. Napa, get the good stuff. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's. Northbound 270 from Gravelway to Big Bend, look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, still slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 44 at Antire 109, right lane's closed due to construction. Eastbound 70 at 5th Street all the way into 270, look for slight delays. Eastbound 40 from Ballast to Lindbergh, look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 at Jefferson, that off-ramp is closed due to construction. Westbound 40 at Mason, there's an accident, traffic's backing up through 270. And southbound 270 at Ladue and 40, look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 onto the PSB, look for slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 64 at Bow Avenue and the PSB, look for no problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at State Line all the way into Laclede's Landing, look for slight delays there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB, it is slow, and there are a number of power outages still that have blinking red lights at intersections, so use caution at those areas and treat those as four-way stops. Also, Route 30 at Dolores, there's a report of an injury accident, and Broadway and Walnut, there's an accident involving a bi-state bus, and 9th Street at Olive, those traffic lights are not working. Waterford at Parker, there's a report of an accident there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's restaurants. Enjoy a little daylight savings at McDonald's. Stop in for one of three delicious breakfast extra value meals, like an Egg McMuffin, hash browns, and a small coffee, all for under $3. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today and tomorrow. Mostly cloudy this morning, partly sunny by this afternoon, a 50% chance of showers, high in the mid-70s. This evening becoming partly cloudy late, then becoming mostly cloudy overnight. Showers and thunderstorms are possible. Some storms may be severe with damaging winds and large hail throughout the evening. The low should be in the upper 50s. Then on Friday, partly cloudy and another chance for showers, high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have cloudy conditions and our current temperature is 60 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 60 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news traffic, or your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Many are denied.
So we
say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Listen, folks, this is Thursday, and it is 8 o'clock, and that means it is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I am here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. This is a good week, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I'm still flying.
Okay, this is a very, very, very good week. I can't count the phone calls that I've been getting from people, the shout-outs that folks have been doing as you drive down the street, about how excited and how empowered people feel about the result from the school board election.
They definitely are feeling good.
Yeah, they are.
But the thing about it, Liz, it just goes to show you, and it's the kind of thing that we've been trying to do with the Reggie Clemens campaign, is that if people have the information, that informs their decision-making and their actions.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you got a lot of disinformation and misinformation, it is confusing. But I think this was a clear choice. And although...
don't you think that it finally... information has been flowing out for 3 years now, but I think that sometimes, Jamala, it feels like some people just really have to get to the bottom before they feel it. You know, that some people, you know, it's just like, okay, I'm going to keep hope alive. They're not going to do this, and then they do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to keep hope alive. They're not going to do this, and then they do that. Finally, I think that people got full up, fed up, and it's like, okay, I see you clearly for what you are.
Enough already.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, I think it is human to want to expect the best out of people.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of it was that even if you look at the 25 points that have been lost, that alone will make you go.
It would get you fired from any job in corporate America.
Exactly, because it's a performance rating for the district that means you are failing.
That's a fact.
And that's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And so I think people felt like, okay, we've seen what the candidates can do that are already on. We need to look at some new, fresh folks. And
mm-hmm.
so I think the decision was made and made appropriately and correctly.
Now, how do we connect the inspiration, the excitement, the enthusiasm that our people are feeling? How does that translate into the embrace and the impact on the Reginald Clemens campaign?
Well, one part of it is I mentioned already, and that is the information piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
Since 1991, there really has not been a effective offensive against the disinformation. And so what you have is a particular view that was put out there, and it has prevailed. And so one of the things that the campaign has had to do is to literally flood the community with the facts about the case so that people, even if they didn't wholly embrace it, they begin to question.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are feeling like we're at that point now where there is a shifting to people knowing about the case. Because, again, some people will say, I slightly remember that case, but I don't remember the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And so to really just bringing it fast forward up to 2006, giving them the facts, walking them back through it, as we've done on this show for the past, 5 or 6 months. So that piece of it has helped. But the other part of it is once you've been informed, then you need to craft a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
That matches with the analysis and that matches with what you know to be the truth. And so that was done with this particular campaign for the school board. And so I think the same thing has to be applied to the Justice for Reggie campaign. Once you have the facts, you need to get on board with the strategy and move in a concerted, unified way so that we have a success.
So let's begin at the beginning. Let's talk about the Reginald Clemens case, why we're here every Thursday at 8.
We are here, and this week, for the listening audience who may not know, this is the 15th anniversary of the Chain of Rocks tragedy. So the notion of what all of this means, I think, still escapes a lot of people. But we have really been trying to make it real for people. And on April 4th, 1991, an incident happened at the bridge, and you know, we can go into some facts. Because one of the things that I want to go through with the audience is a chronology of what happened in terms of Reggie's case. There were a group of young men who went to the bridge, the Chain of Rocks Bridge, to hang out. There was also Julie and Robin Carey went to the bridge along with their cousin Tom Cummings, who was from out of town. And there was a casual passing by of that group. And before the night was over, both sisters allegedly were overboard, and Tom Cummings allegedly jumped from the bridge and initially confessed to accidentally approaching a cousin, and she fell off the bridge, and the other sister jumped in to save her.
And he confessed to approaching her in a sexual way.
In a sexual way, and there was some history and documentation to that as the trial unfolded. But within the next couple of days, there was a flashlight that was found on the bridge that was identified with Antonio Richardson. It wasn't identified with him, but it was a law enforcement flashlight, and it was traced back to Antonio Richardson. And at that point, the spotlight shifted from Tom Cummings to the four young men that were on the bridge that night. And within literally days, they were arrested and charged with rape and murder. Now, the interesting thing of this is, and we've had a number of guests on the show who talked about the whole sort of sensationalism when there's alleged rape of white women and black defendants, and that, I think, played out in the media as well. So there was never any evidence of rape, never any DNA. In fact, the three men that were actually accused of the rape never were, no samples were taken for them of blood, you know, saliva, anything. So the rape piece really was just a thing to get the media excited, to influence the jury, and it did. And so at the end of the day, you had one white defendant, Daniel Winfrey, who at the time was 15 years old, turning state's evidence. And it's interesting, Liz, that in the case of Daniel Winfrey, he was the only one of the four defendants that was allowed to do a plea bargain, which goes back to the guests last week who were talking about in Kansas City that the pending case of Michael Taylor is the only one over a period of years that was not allowed to do a plea bargain. So you know, we have an execution of Marlon Gray last fall for accomplice in this case, and now we have Reggie Clemons waiting for a date for basically the same thing, an accomplice. And so when you talk about being accomplice, that means somebody did something, but there was never any evidence, never any identification of the who it was that did it and who these folks were accomplice to. So the case is wrought with a lot of contradictions, too many for somebody to have been executed. I mean, we have prosecutorial misconduct by Nels Moss, prosecutor in this case.
And the one thing that I think that sticks out in my mind in terms of the prosecutorial misconduct is the fact that Nels Moss's investigator somehow ended up on the jury pool. Nels saw him sitting in the pool. He didn't let the court know it. He didn't let the defense attorney know it. He didn't let the jury know that his own investigator on this case was in the jury pool, poisoning the minds of the jurors, telling them about the rape, telling them all kinds of information, and influencing them. He was eventually removed from it, but they kept the same jury pool that he influenced, the same jury pool that he dirtied, and they were the people that decided this case. That in and of itself is enough to say, you know what, how on earth could you have gotten a... It's like having your mother on a death penalty case and the jury pool telling everybody that, giving her slant to the jury.
That's my baby. That's he would never do that
and bring in all this information. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be a fair case, mm-hmm. because you don't have a fair-minded jury.
Exactly. And so one would almost have to conclude that was an intentional act on the part of Nels Moss.
Absolutely.
And this is the kind of behavior that has, represented his MO for the years that he served as assistant prosecutor, and so
he's been cited by the Missouri Supreme Court and that by Court of Appeals time and time cases are reversed because of his unethical, lawless criminal behavior.
Yeah, and that's what you have to say. It is criminal, and so it's particularly criminal when people are dying because
yes.
of the way that he has handled cases.
That makes you a murderer.
Yeah.
I mean, if Antonio and if Marlon Gray could be put to death for nobody said he put his hands on anybody, then good. If that's a death penalty case, then what is it when you know that somebody didn't do it and you lied and cheated to make sure that they were found out to be the one? That's murder too, isn't it?
That's murder too. And ironically, the whole thing about being an accomplice to murder
mm-hmm.
really does fit Nell's mom.
Yes, it does.
It fits him to a T.
Absolutely.
And so the case, again, wrought with contradictions, the thing of the legal defense that the Thomases paid for, went in debt for, and these folks were just totally incompetent, and one of the attorneys ended up being disbarred later. And this,
that's his own defense attorney. We had a prosecutor that cited time and time again for criminal, lawless, unethical behavior, and a defense attorney that's disbarred. It just makes you want to holler.
I mean, at a certain point, somebody should have been saying, "Time out! Wait a minute, time out!
Do over!"
But you know, things just rolled right on, and then you have the beaten confessions of both Marlon and Reggie, and you know, there's no movement on that yet. The first time Tom Cummins hollers about he's been
his civil rights have been violated
and that he was beaten, although no evidence whatsoever. His body, pictures were taken of his body. His father was there when the interrogation was going on and said that they were treated very professionally, and that was in quotes. So how is
so he
that
got a settlement of how much money?
He got a settlement of $150,000 on the day that Reggie was convicted. So they waited to a timely way to after that could not be used in the courtroom as part of the reason that he was testifying in the way that he was.
But Jamala, okay, yeah, he got paid the day that Reggie was convicted. But you've been involved with Citizens Against Police Crimes and Repression for 20 years?
Yes.
20 years
long time.
Now. Gregory Bell. How long did it take his family, the baby that was mentally challenged, who was beaten, drugged, just violated in so many ways, how long did it take his family to get their money?
It took a while.
It didn't take weeks.
Right.
Because we're talking about weeks.
Right. And he had already put in his had already filed the suit. It's just that they waited to actually award him the money
mm-hmm.
after the trials were over so that that would not be a part of Reggie's defense saying,
he
got paid, and that's why his testimony is in this way. So, it's just crafty and criminal the way that Nell's mom prosecuted the cases. And again, Liz, one of the things that we said that we wanted to do with Reggie Thursdays is not just talk about Reggie's case, but talk about the flaws of the death penalty system as well as the criminal justice system. And I think, you know, that goal is more than just, you know, a lofty goal. People are responding to it. I mean, I just have people coming up and saying, you know, really, I didn't know that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or I didn't know that was happening. If you've never had to interface with the criminal justice system and all of a sudden you are literally thrown at his doorstep, you don't know what to do.
And you're shocked. And if you've watched television, as most Americans have, with all of the misinformation about the criminal justice system and how it works out there, every American is stunned about, oh my God, I had no idea that the system is allowed to work like this.
Right. I mean, and there's so many examples that we've had in this city, but across the country. I mean, I even think about, for example, what has happened to Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney.
Jesus.
Now, she's about to get indicted. For somebody, like, assaulting her. So, I mean, that's the kind of
thing.
Well,
wait a minute. I just got to throw this out, too, because I don't know if a lot of folks know this. She went around the metal detector. She's a congresswoman, for crying out loud. The people that are guarding Congress should know what the Congress people look like. He put his hands on her. She responded to him. And now they're seeking an indictment on her. What's interesting is Tom DeLay, the king of corruption, the king of conflict, one of the most criminal people in Congress, Mr. puts the UN unethical, has said that he is going to file an ethics charge against Cynthia McKinney for this incident. Mm-hmm. Ain't that some stuff?
It's really mind-boggling. The other thing, I read an article that came through the internet saying that the Democrats say that she's a distraction. Now, here this woman is fighting for her civil and human rights, and they're saying that this incident she's using as a distraction. And they
now, this is the woman who first said it and lost her gig for saying, you know what, we need to investigate George Bush. How'd that work out?
Yeah.
Okay, who was right and who was wrong?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And then her people elected her back. These are the same Democrats that made fun of Congresswoman Maxine Waters and the other, Cynthia McKinney amongst them, that were holding them to task, saying, you know what, y'all need to make a record of what happened in 2000, and they cowed on that one as well.
Exactly. So the bottom line is, no matter what your status, whether you're a congresswoman or you're Reggie Clemens,
there you go.
You know, you're
there
going
you
to get
go.
The same.
You're going to get the same treatment.
And so
if you are of African descent, if you are a you can't get more highly placed than that unless you're a United States senator or a president. You're a congresswoman. You're going to be treated the exact
mm-hmm,
same way.
Mm-hmm. So if you understand that and accept that as the reality, not that that's the way it's supposed to be, but if you accept that as the basic premise, then you actually go into the criminal justice system with a different mindset that probably will be more helpful than if you go in thinking that you have the same rights as a white male in the society. And so I think a lot of us go into the criminal justice system thinking, I'm a citizen, you know, it's going to be fair, and I'm going to let justice take its course.
Yeah,
well,
I can tell you,
there are many young men who I get letters from that are in the system that say, now that I'm in here and have had a chance to go to the law library, here is what I know I didn't get. But at that point,
it's too late.
It's too late.
It's often tragically too late.
It's too late.
Because it's a system, it's an institution that has its own little quirky rules and regulations. Things are time sensitive. Evidence is corrupted. Evidence disappears. There are things that you need to be moving on from the get-go to, they say that it's all about, you know, you're supposed to be proven guilty. It's more often than not, it's about you got to prove yourself innocent, and you got to get the evidence to do that.
And you have to have the money to do that.
And then,
if you don't.
And even if you have the money, you still have to have a good attorney because Reginald Clemens had the money.
Mm-hmm.
They hired a private attorney
mm-hmm.
that was subsequently
mm-hmm.
disbarred.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
mm-hmm.
twofold.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
not just the money, but you got to get a decent attorney.
Exactly. And those are the kind of lessons that we hope that people will draw from us talking about this every Thursday. And I do believe it's working because, like I said, I'm hearing from people saying, I can't believe that happened. Believe it so that the next time that you hear somebody in your family or somebody at your church that you could say, hey, wait a minute now. Remember what happened in the Reggie Clemens case. So did you ask this question? Tell your attorney to make sure they object to everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, in
mm-hmm.
the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things that people are picking up, particularly the not objecting piece. I mean, that really resonates
yes.
with people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because as they ask, why come we can't do this now? Why come we can't do any of that now?
Because
it was not preserved.
And also, the other piece of it is that we want people to make the connect between, okay, one of the reasons that this happened to Reggie, one of the reasons why Nels Wass felt comfortable about putting his investigator in the jury pool and allowing him to stay there, one of the reasons why the cops felt comfortable in beating the heck out of African men and getting false confessions out of them is because there is no civilian oversight.
Mm.
That we have to make the connect. One of our tasks with this show also is to make the connection between things. We need a civilian oversight board because if we had one, people don't feel comfortable and don't feel that they're able to beat people
right.
and get stuff out of them because somebody's going to be watching that they
right.
don't do that.
Right. And if it happens,
There's a recourse.
Okay. And right now there's no recourse whatsoever. And so folks are rolling on our, particularly our young people.
Yep, yep.
And I was listening this morning, Liz, and I heard you engaging in some dialogue with one of the callers about the boombox law.
Mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
I, you know, a lot of our people who see young folks, you know, acting in a way that young people
do.
act, I mean, this
okay,
is not
tell the truth.
This is not behavior that's uncharacteristic of young people.
That's
Let's get real.
That's fact.
And so turning up your boombox loud so you can enjoy the music is not a crime.
It is not.
It's not a crime.
Not.
And these are the kinds of things that criminalize our young people, Liz, and it's done so with the complicity, unfortunately, a passive complicity to these kind of unjust laws.
And we have to take a break, okay? When we come back.
Yeah.
We'll finish this conversation because there's a connect with all of that. 454-0400 is my phone number. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. I'm Liz Brown.
For the mayor.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Northbound 270 at Doherty Ferry to disable tractor trailer blocking the right center lane, so use caution as you roll up to that area. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to Mid Rivers Mall, no problems to report there. Westbound 44 from Antire to 109, road construction, right lanes closed. Eastbound 70 at 5th Street and 270, that traffic's finally easing this hour. Eastbound 40 from Ballast Lindbergh is still slow this hour. Westbound 44 from Route WW to 185, look for paving operations, right lanes closed. Southbound 270 at Page and Ladue, stop and go traffic in pockets. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street on the PSB. You've got slow traffic there. Westbound 64 at PSB. No problems to report. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing. Look for that traffic to be easing up this hour. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at 8th Street and the Poplar Street Bridge. You have slow traffic going on as well. Mexico Road at Blue Creek. There's an accident reported, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. There are various intersections that are on blinking red lights. Treat those intersections as stop-and-go intersections. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Protect your car's engine with clean motor oil. Stop by Napa Auto Parts today and pick up Valvoline conventional motor oil for $1.99 a quart. Napa gets the good stuff. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow. For today, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day, a 50% chance of showers with a high in the mid-70s this evening, becoming partly cloudy late, showers and thunderstorms throughout the evening and into the overnight hours. Some storms may be severe at times with damaging wind and large hail this evening. The low should be in the upper 50s. For Friday, partly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers, high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 61 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 62. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi,
this is Lethea Owens with a Motivational Moment. I'd like to encourage you to find out who you are and be it on purpose without apology. I believe that there is great power and influence when we know who we are. When we understand the gifts and talents that we possess, we're able to make a strong and powerful impact on the world around us. So please join me on Mondays from 1 to 2 for Motivational Mondays, where your dreams become reality on AM 920 WGNU.
This Saturday at the Missouri History Museum from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m., the Missouri History Museum's Race, Power, and Money series is a discussion on the book, My Face is Black is True. The author is Dr. Mary Frances Berry. She also is the woman who chaired the United States Commission on Civil Rights. She will be having that discussion this Saturday, $5 per person, $4 for Missouri Historical Society members. Reservations are required. Here's the phone number, 361-9017, 361-9017. The discussion is this Saturday at the Lee Auditorium. My Face is Black is True, a discussion with Dr. Mary Frances Berry, Saturday, 1 p.m. to 2:30. Call for your reservations, 361-9017.
Are you a woman undergoing treatment for cancer? Or do you know someone who is? The Scientific Arts Foundation, a nonprofit organization, is supporting research evaluating the effects of a relaxation CD on stress in cancer patients undergoing treatment. If you are a female undergoing chemotherapy or radiation treatment for cancer and are willing to join in this important and relaxing study for 10 to 20 days, contact Dr. William Collins at 314-569-1290. That's 314-569-1290. To learn more about the Scientific Arts Foundation, visit their website at www.scientificartsfoundation.org.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Hi, this is Ken Dodson, host of The Ken Dodson Show. And I want to let you know about a guest that I'm going to have on my show this week. I'm going to have the phenomenal Liz Brown on The Ken Dodson Show this Friday from 8 till 9. I'm going to examine a side of Liz Brown that you've never seen before. It's an hour conversation with Liz Brown this Friday on The Ken Dodson Show. I'll see you then.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie. I am Thursday. I am here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
And we're talking about how this system works, and it's so important. We talk about this every week because it is extraordinarily true. This case of Reginald Clemens is such a teaching package. Okay, it provides such an opportunity for teaching. You were talking about the conversation that I was having earlier this morning with the woman who was calling about the kids playing their radios loud, and how people want to forget or seem to forget or have absorbed this message of criminal response to people as the way to go for normal behavior. And when she talks about how young people aren't the same as they were when she was young, no generation is the same. But what is also not the same, but what is specifically and problematically not the same, is this ain't your grandmama's, this ain't your mama's criminal justice system. When our babies get in this system, things happen to them that didn't happen a generation ago.
Absolutely. You know, well, actually, what happens to them before they get in the system hasn't happened before. I mean, the whole criminalization thing, people really need to zero in on that, because that is what allows us to be silent when we see people being carted off to jail, being beat. Our thing is, well, maybe they did something. Maybe, you know, maybe police know something we don't know. You know, the fact of the matter is that if you can criminalize somebody for being on the corner talking, and that is somehow, you know, I even forgot the name of that that law, but it's something about assembly. But and then playing your music loud and losing a car. See, here's the thing that, you know, this particular police department is notorious for free casing. I mean, if people don't know what free casing is, that means if you get stopped and the police decide they want to do something with you for whatever you said or have done, and there's no criminal premise for them to do that, they come up with a case. So they may drop some drugs, they may, you know, say you were resisting arrest,
throw down weapons.
And so what you begin to see is a pattern. So you have a young man at 17 who got stopped, say over a 3-year period. They were stopped 3 times by the police, and 2 of those times there was a charge. So now you got a record. And people were saying, well, and this is the first thing they bring out, Liz, as you well know, when there's been a case. They go back into your criminal past and they say, look at all these, you know, they did it with Edmund Burns. Look what all he's done. This is no saint. And so I keep trying to tell people this is a contrived thing so that when it happens, when they really want you to take you, they got the backup to say.
And also look at the words that are chosen. Holding up something that someone has been arrested is not something that they have done. It is something that the criminal justice system has done. The police arrest. Okay, so the fact that you have been arrested is not proof that you have or evidence that you have done anything. But nowadays, you have to put on your job application whether or not the police have arrested you. And that's the whole movement of this system towards the more and more criminalization and more punishment of people, and keeping people out of jobs, keeping people out of institutions, keeping people out of choices that they had 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago. So it matters mightily that we have to fight back the impulse and the desire to find another easy way to get our babies into the criminal justice system. Now with this car thing, not only do you get in the criminal justice system, but you get your stuff taken. And you can't tell me that there are a lot of cops out there that are around here ticked off because they see these beautiful cars that these babies have tricked out, and I want to get at them. Because I'm mad about they got a piano and I ain't got a piano. I'm going to take their stuff. I'm going to take their stuff. Let me get to some of our callers here. Gerald Christmas, good morning.
Good morning, Liz, and good morning to Jamala also.
Good morning.
I was listening to both of you all talk this morning. I think you're right on point. One issue that I want to raise out here as a criminal defense lawyer is that the public really needs to understand their rights. You have a right to remain silent, a constitutional right, and it's very important that you exercise that right.
Do it.
Do not make any statements.
None.
Do not make any statements. Do not sign any confessions. Do not participate in any lineups until you talk with an attorney. Too many young people out here are making statements, signing statements, and participating in lineups, giving DNA samples, without even consulting with an attorney first. And a lot of times the police will talk to you, they will tell you lies. Actually, the law allows them to trick you into giving statements. So you have to be very careful and know that the police are not your friend when they are questioning you in these situations. If the police already had a case then they would go ahead and arrest you and make their case. If they have to start questioning you and getting you to sign statements and do other things, they're trying to build a case against you, and you're helping them build that case. Also with searches, they need to have a search warrant in order to search your house, your vehicle. Do not give permission to search. Too many people are just arbitrarily given permission for police to come in and search their premises, to search their vehicles. Make them do their job. Make them get the search warrants that are necessary. And one big thing that's going on right now with the St. Louis Metropolitan Police is that any area of the city, they're calling high drug areas. So if they see black males, for example, standing on the porch. I've had a case where they've just been standing on the porch
and Gerald,
not doing anything illegal.
Gerald, so, Gerald, you're going to have to hold that thought because we have to take a break.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. We have callers on the line. We will get to you when we get back. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. Stay with me.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Washington. Tom DeLay may be stepping down from his seat in Congress because of scandal, but he still managed to go out on his own terms. DeLay had said he was going to hang on to his seat until after the recent primary election because he was of the opinion that the Republican challengers who ran against him were nothing more than opportunists and political traitors, and he was not going to allow them to tarnish his seat. When he came out on top, even after being indicted, he knew that the November race would be close and he'd need a lot of money to win. But since he will also need a lot of cash to take care of his defense lawyers, he decided the time was right to leave because federal campaign rules will allow him to use any reelection money that he has left over to pay for legal bills that are created from performing his official duties. By leaving office before his legal problems spring into full bloom, he may very well have put a dent into the efforts of a coming investigation, although with the Jack Abramoff scandal around his neck as well, he is by no means out of the woods yet. But DeLay will not likely have to go on welfare because there's going to be plenty of ways for him to make money, such as writing a book, doing speaking engagements, and becoming a Washington political strategist. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
This Saturday, here's an opportunity for you to participate in the Missouri History Museum's Race, Power, and Money series. The guest this Saturday is Dr. Mary Frances Berry. She will be talking about her book. There will be a discussion about her book, My Face is Black is True. That is this Saturday from 1 p.m. to 2:30 at the Lee Auditorium. $5 per person, $4 for Missouri History Museums. Reservations are required. Here's the number for reservations, 361-9017, 361-9017. My Face is Black is True, a discussion with author Dr. Mary Frances Berry. She is the woman who chaired the United States Commission on Civil Rights. My Face is Black is True, this Saturday, 1 p.m. to 2:30 at Lee Auditorium, 361-9017 for reservations.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else are you going to get your big screen televisions, your little screen televisions, and the best shopping experience in the region? Of course, you're going to go to 3425 Union, 3425 Union Sears. Where else? Black-owned, black-operated Jerome Williams. Come on. Get your shop on. It's springtime. You need a lawnmower. You need some tools. You need some lawn furniture. You need a treadmill. Get on over to Sears. My name is Liz Brown. When you get on over to Sears at 3425 Union, tell them I told you to.
Hi, this is Ken Dodson, host of The Ken Dodson Show. And I want to let you know about a guest that I'm going to have on my show this week. I'm going to have the phenomenal Liz Brown on The Ken Dodson Show this Friday from 8 till 9. I'm going to examine a side of Liz Brown that you've never seen before. It's an hour conversation with Liz Brown this Friday on The Ken Dodson Show. I'll see you then.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
Does life just seem to happen to you? No plan, no direction? If it does, you're not alone. Join two life coaches, Sandy and Bobby, for an exciting and fun hour of learning how to create the designed life. We'll talk about principles of success, we'll take your calls, and provide coaching to help you achieve the life you desire. Tune in Monday nights at 9 p.m. to The Designed Life on WGNU.
Were you aware that big changes are on the way for the welfare system come October? Congress has decided that states are not doing enough to get people off of aid programs and back into the job market. This could result in states losing billions of dollars if they don't develop plans the government approves of by as early as June. State governments say if they don't keep the flexibility they currently have to put people back into the job market, the whole plan is doomed to fail. You need to be listening Friday morning at 8 for an informative look at the possible end of the welfare program as we know it with Daniel Vaughn, staff writer and researcher for Stateline.org, here on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Around the world, behind the story, it's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
Welcome back. This is Justice for Thursday. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
We were having a conversation with Gerald Christmas. Gerald, good morning and welcome back. Gerald, are you there?
Here.
Okay. Yes, you're breaking up a little bit on us. You wanted to finish your last thought?
What I was saying is there were some young people on the porch just talking. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the police pulled up. Their observation is that any area in the city now is a high drug area, which gives them probable cause to approach somebody. They don't see any criminal activity, no hand-to-hand transactions, no currency being exchanged, nothing. Just the fact that you have black males standing on a porch in the city. All of a sudden, the whole city is now a high drug area. So that these are things that we have to be very careful of because they're using this as probable cause to approach houses and approach vehicles. And these are cases that we're fighting hard as far as probable cause hearings are concerned because the police have no probable cause to approach these individuals. And then this is where you just talked about when this free casing comes up and people start having weapons and things planted on them because there was no probable cause to approach them in the first place.
Mm.
So we just have to be very much aware of our rights and be very vigilant in standing on our rights and not giving up any information until you talk to an attorney first.
Gerald, one of the things that I'm seeing more of is that there's a number of cases that have come to me where an individual young man may have been involved in whether it be drugs or maybe a couple of robberies or some assaults. And then there might be a couple of those cases, whether free casing or not. But then there comes a time when he does get a free case or a rap, and then it's hard for that person to then say, well, I didn't do this and that's not my character when they built up, you know,
a resume
either on their own or with the help of the police, and then they're sort of trapped in that space because it's difficult to say, here's my past history, but that's not me.
Exactly. Your credibility is definitely at issue once you have those prior convictions. And when you take the stand, your prior convictions will come out.
Mm.
And a lot of times you have to take the stand because that is the only way that your story is going to be able to come out to a jury because a lot of times it's just you and the police there.
Right.
You'll have the police testimony, and then if you don't take the stand, the jury will never hear the other side of it, and they have to hear that other side of it from you.
And here's the thing. As a former criminal defense attorney myself, I remember Oprah saying when she sat on a jury trial, she said that, I don't understand why anybody wouldn't take the stand in their own defense. The fact of the matter is that everybody cannot project innocence. When they're innocent, you know? I mean, Oprah she's an actress. So she can project certain types of personas. Some people are angry, and jurors only have that 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour to assess your credibility while you're on the stand. And when we have cross-cultural assessments, white folks assessing black men, white folks assessing black women, that cross-cultural thing, people are going to assess you. And some people, quite frankly, project that they are telling a lie when all they're doing is telling the truth from the bottom of their heart.
In their own way.
From their own, and from their own way. Mm-hmm. So everybody can't take the stand, Gerald.
That's true, but that's also why it's so important to have a diverse jury pool.
That's fact.
When we are trying these cases, so many times people want to get out of jury duty. First thing they say is, I can't serve on jury duty. But we have to understand as a community, we have to serve on these juries because we have to be there to disseminate this information.
And to ensure fairness.
And to ensure fairness, exactly. And so when you are called for jury duty, you should be going out of your way to make sure that you have an opportunity to serve on this jury. Everybody has had situations in their life, but that doesn't mean that you cannot listen to that evidence and make a decision based on that evidence.
And, Gerald, one of the things, too, you talk about people that are grabbed up, snatched up by the cops, them not making a statement. There's also advice to give to parents, too, because some parents think that they are helping their child when they say, go on down there, baby, and just tell them that you didn't do it. That's not good advice.
That's not good advice. Never send your children down. First of all, if you have minor children, you should be present before they're questioning at all by juvenile officials at school or at the juvenile facilities. The parent has to be notified before the minor child can be questioned. Secondly, you need to have an attorney there because you send your child down there, they start making statements, and before you know it, they're charged with all kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And you are sending you're sending the sheep to the wolves.
There you are. Mm-hmm. There you are.
Sending
absolutely.
The sheep to the wolves. You are not sending them to somebody who has their best interest at heart. You send them to the prosecutor. They're trying to make a case.
That's a fact.
And they're
it's not
use
officer
those
friendly.
Statements to make a case. They're not trying to acquit them. They're trying to convict them. And anything they say can and will be used against them.
And is.
Is.
And
absolutely.
You
have to be careful what you say.
That's a fact.
What you say as a parent can be turned around and used against you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you have to be very careful. That's why it's important that you get legal counsel first.
Absolutely. Gerald Christmas, thank you so much.
Liz, you all have a great day. You and Jamala both are doing an excellent job.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gerald.
And we
want to remind people that the campaign meeting for the Justice for Reggie Clemens campaign will be Monday, 7 o'clock at the Rowan Community Center, 1401 Rowan. For more information, you can go to the website, www.justiceforreggie.com, or call 367-5959.
And how was the event at the bridge?
It was awesome. It was awesome. It was a very powerful. Oh, yes.
Okay.
It was a very powerful event. So thanks for those people who came, and they all left with a very new perspective.
Excellent. Mm. Jamala Rogers, thank you so much, and we'll see you same time, same place next Thursday.
Absolutely.
All right. Justice for Reggie. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I'll be back in the next hour to take your calls, comments, and questions. Stay with us.
Say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution with the anthem, brother. Stop the sun.
That not everyone is sharing.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest.
From ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. There are some big developments on the Duke University campus as the school deals with rape allegations. A stripper says three members of the lacrosse team attacked her after a party. Well, now the rest of the team is schedule is canceled. The coach has resigned and a player has been suspended, accused of writing a chilly email. Here's ABC's Steve Osunsami.
In it, he writes, "After tonight's show, I've decided to have some strippers over. All are welcome. However, there will be no nudity. I plan on killing the expletive as soon as they walk in and proceeding to cut their skin off."
President Bush could weigh in on the matter today. ABC's Ann Compton has details from the White House.
President Bush has been silent on the Duke University turmoil, but he has a chance today to praise scores of college championship athletes, NCAA winning teams from the last 2 years, gather here on the South Lawn. Even the newest champs, Florida's men's basketball team and the women's champs from Maryland. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
It's happened again, another car bombing in Iraq, this time near a holy shrine in the town of Najaf. At least 15 people are dead and many more have been hurt. This time, they'll hear from more than just the relatives of the dead. There's a new phase in the trial of accused 9/11 conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui underway.
Should he spend the rest of his life in prison or die for his role in the 9/11 attacks? Zacharias Moussaoui's defense will call on mental health experts to say Moussaoui had a bad childhood and psychological problems. But going for execution, the government will present emotional accounts from 9/11 victims and loved ones, plus cockpit recordings from a crashed hijacked plane. And they will identify by name and photograph each of the nearly 3,000 victims. Luis Schiavone, ABC News, outside federal court in Alexandria, Virginia.
The Senate's headed for a showdown over immigration reform. Republicans and Democrats have their own plans. Both allow for some guest workers. The Dow is down 13 points, NASDAQ off 12. This is ABC News.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
We are all the way from Liverpool.
Thousands marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, number NASD and SIPC.
Top three reasons I'm sprucing up my home this spring? Number three, if you could see my yard, well, you'd understand. Number two, I've wanted a new kitchen for, about 2 decades. And the number one reason? I can do it all this spring, but pay for it later.
Now through April 9th, get special deferred financing on purchases throughout the store when you use your Home Depot consumer credit card. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid in U.S. only. See stores for details.
The Stones rolled into Shanghai today for their first show in mainland China. A sellout crowd's expected at the band's show Saturday night. But it's still not clear if they're going to hear Brown Sugar or Honky Tonk Woman. The censors cut those songs off of the Stones' albums in China. Teens have no problem spending money, but a new study says they could use a lesson or two in how to save it. ABC's Clarissa Douglas has more on the study by the Federal Reserve.
Are you liable if your credit card is stolen and the thief runs up $1,000 in bills? No? Your liability is $50. Only 15% of high school seniors answered that one correctly. Only 14% knew that stocks, not savings bonds, offer higher long-term growth. The retirement income paid by a company is called Social Security? A 401k? Only 38% of the teens knew it's called a pension. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke says financial literacy is crucial to the nation's economic future.
Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, Pemiscot County, Missouri, hit hard by a round of severe weather over the weekend, is under a federal disaster declaration. President Bush made the declaration yesterday, making federal grants and loans available to Pemiscot County residents who need temporary housing, repairs, and help recovering from uninsured property losses. Federal funding is also available to local governments in Andrew and Pettis counties. The Show Me State isn't doing enough to encourage kids not to smoke. That's according to the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, which reports that 25% of Missouri teenagers smoke. Vince Wilmore, the Vice President of Communications for the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, says that's higher than the national average of 22%.
Missouri has one of the lowest cigarette taxes in the country,
and ranks last in the country in funding tobacco prevention programs. But there will be a ballot initiative in Missouri this fall to increase the tobacco tax and fund tobacco prevention programs.
There has been a 40% decline in the teen smoking rate nationwide since 1997. Yesterday was the 11th annual Kick Butts Day event, which is designed to raise anti-smoking awareness for teens and adults. Finally this hour, the Cardinals will go for the series sweep this afternoon when they take on the Phillies in matinee action. Jason Marquis takes the mound for the Birds. He went 13-14 with a 4.13 ERA last season. The Cards are facing a pitcher who had success against them in 2005. Corey Lytle was 1-0 with a 1.59 ERA in two starts against the Cardinals last year. First pitch is set for 2:05 this afternoon. This WGNU News report is brought to you by Midas. What's the most important safety feature of your car? Midas believes it's the person who does your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas touch. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sours traffic and weather. Sours traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Northbound 270 at Doherty Ferry and Manchester disabled tractor trailer blocking the left center lane. Traffic jams approaching 21 or Tesson Ferry. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley. Look for slow traffic there as well. Southbound 270 from Page to Ladue. Stop and go traffic in pockets. Westbound 40 from Hampton to Clayton Skinker. Look for road construction. Right lane is closed. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street onto the PSB. Look for that traffic to be easing this hour. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB. Look for that traffic also to be easing up this hour. Some signals are not working throughout the area due to power outages. If they are blinking, you need to treat them as a four-way stop and use caution as you roll up to those intersections. McKenzie at Weber, there's traffic problems going on there. Route 21 at 270, the report of signal problems. South Grand at Fairview, there's a report of an injury accident. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Enjoy a little daylight savings at McDonald's. Stop in for one of three delicious breakfast extra value meals like the Egg McMuffin, hash browns, and a small coffee, all for under $3. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today and tomorrow. For today, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day, a 50% chance of showers with a high in the mid-70s. This evening, partly cloudy late, becoming mostly cloudy overnight, chance of showers throughout the evening hours and in the overnight. Some storms may be heavy throughout the evening hours, producing damaging winds and large hail. The low should be in the upper 50s. For Friday, partly cloudy, another good chance for showers and a possible thunderstorm, high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 60 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 60, both under overcast conditions. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I remember saying that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below the low major.
I think I'm hearing
revolution with the air, Timber Brothers. Top
is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. What a world, what a world, what a world. Let me see. Compassionate conservative. We're going to bring morality back to the White House. This is the most ethical administration since Ronald Reagan. How's it working out for the Republicans? Did you hear about this? The deputy press secretary for the Department of Homeland Security was arrested on Election Day for using the internet to seduce what he thought was a teenage girl. Huh? Nobody gave me the manual on compassionate conservatism, but I guess sexual predator is part of one of the chapters. Brian Dole, 55 years old, was arrested on 7 charges of the use of a computer to seduce a child and 16 counts of transmission of harmful material to a minor. This came out of one of the most corrupt states? This came out of Florida. Dole had explicit sexual conversation with what he believed was a 14-year-old girl whose profile he saw on the internet on March 14. The girl was an undercover Polk County Sheriff's computer crimes detective. And here's the most, this is how bold they are. This is, I mean, come on, think of this in terms of Tom DeLay. Corruption. Tom DeLay's all of the people around him getting indicted, confessing to all of these crimes. The Dukester, Randy Cunningham, Jack Abramoff, all of the culture of corruption. The black guy that went into Target with his really sophisticated scam of buying stuff and returning it, returning other stuff and keeping the money at Target. Extraordinary soup to nuts culture of corruption in Washington D.C. in the Republican Party. Despite all of that, these people roll so hard, roll so tough, are so comfortable with their corruption that just check this out. During his conversation, I mean, this is astounding. Brian Dole used his real name. Not all you are corrupt, but you a fool too. He used his real name. Oh, and if that's not all, he used his real name. He also said, oh, I guess he's trying to impress a 14-year-old girl. What? Who tries to impress anybody with a government job? He says, I work for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. He told that on the internet. The cops that were doing this were probably just rolling. They had to be laughing hysterically, and they got to be asking themselves, is this guy for real? Is he this stupid? No, he's that arrogant coming out of that administration and the culture of corruption that they don't feel the weight of, they don't feel the cost of, they don't feel the culture of corruption that they are part of. They are so bold that this man gave his name, his full name. He said, my name is Brian J. Doe. He said, I work for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, trying to impress a 14-year-old girl with that. And then, he doesn't end there. He offered his office and government-issued cell phone numbers. Do you hear me? This boy gave out not his cell phone number, but the government's cell phone number to try to get a 55-year-old man trying to hook up with a 14-year-old girl, a Republican, the deputy press secretary for the Department of Homeland. Now, wait a minute. Let's just talk about the fact that this is Homeland Security. If the deputy press secretary feels comfortable of giving out government phone numbers, government office use of Homeland Security, what you think is secure in your homeland? What you think is secure in your homeland? He gave out his number and he used the internet to send hardcore pornographic movie clips to the baby. He used AOL Instant Messenger to chat with this, what he knew to be a 14-year-old girl. Because the way that the cops run that stuff is they say, I'm 14. Here's my picture. Talk to me. He knew she was 14. In his mind, he was talking to a 14-year-old girl. He sent a picture of himself to the girl. Now, these weren't sexually explicit pictures, but he sent a picture to the girl. And then he told the girl to perform adult acts. This is the most moral administration. This is the compassionate a child predator. These are the people. These are the people that George Bush hires to protect our homeland security. You hire predators to protect our homeland security. It's astounding. This administration, it was expected to be put on leave yesterday. I think it is necessary to say that this is the most corrupt, foul, criminally inclined administration in the history of the United States and maybe even the world, simply because of the depth of their gluttony of crime, simply because of the arrogance of their crime, and simply because ain't nobody like America can talk about how we are the world's angel and everybody else's devil. Everybody's supposed to be following our lead in the world. We the king of democracy. Nobody does democracy better than we do. Blah, 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 blah. So when you roll that tough, then you get criticized tougher than tough. Ain't that some stuff? George Bush hires predators to watch our home, to stand watch over our homeland security. Now think about this. He's the deputy press secretary. If he can commit this kind of crimes, how much truth do you think was coming out of Homeland Security from this dude? Do you think a sexual predator is inclined to tell the truth? To be fair, he did give his real name. He did give his real name. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. 1-877-920-WGNU is my phone number. Also, you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Don't forget the show is archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. Archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And don't forget, we are streamed as well at WGNU.net. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Carl, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
What's on your mind?
I'd like to make a comment on that guy with the Homeland Security.
Brian J. Doyle.
Yeah. You know what, Liz? The devil has no shame.
Mm.
I mean, how old was he? 55 years old?
5'5".
You would have thought he would have known better. And then being in that position that of authority that he has, Homeland Security?
That's
Are
that.
We secure, Liz?
How can we be secure if the deputy press secretary for Homeland Security is a child predator and does it on the internet and gives his name, gives Homeland Security phone numbers, offers up his office at the Homeland Security building? How secure can we be?
So in other words, then he can be seduced by terrorists or whoever, if they are, if they are a child.
And how about this? How about this? He didn't just stumble onto this sexual predator stuff. He's been preying on children for decades. You don't just wake up on Monday morning and become a child predator. You've been doing it your whole life. Think about it. He passed security to work at Homeland Security.
Yeah, and then too, Liz, I want to say this too. Like, I wanted to do a list to the news because I listen to the news, and I listen to the news a lot of times. What I'm hearing on the news is that the police officers, they set up these websites in order to entrap predators like himself.
Everybody knows that. Remember our Republican commissioner here in the city of St. Louis? He did exactly the same thing. And the cops set him up the same way. And his defense, attempt at a defense was, I was set up. Yeah, baby, you were set up.
Yeah.
But nobody made you punch in the number and go after that 14-year-old. Nobody
right.
did that, made you do that, but you.
But you.
But
you did it.
You did that. And again, the energy of this administration is just breathtaking. A full, hardcore child predator, because he's a 55-year-old man. The picture was of a 14-year-old girl, and she said, I'm 14. And he said, that's the one I want.
The devil has no shame. No shame. He has none.
And Carl, the thing about it is that you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. The devil has no shame. But feel it this way. It's one thing for the devil to have no shame in the confines of his own house, okay, and his
right.
own lawn care business. You are in charge of my life. What you do has impact on your life and my life. Homeland Security.
That's
so,
right.
So it is 100 times worse than the lawn care guy being a predator, as bad and as awful and as sinful and as horrendous and indefensible and disgusting as that is. It's 100 times worse when the guys in charge of Homeland Security got clearance to work at Homeland Security. He didn't wake up on Tuesday and say, I'm going to be a child predator. He's been one his whole life.
That's right. Thank you, man.
Thank you, Carl. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. It's a culture of corruption in this administration. A culture of corruption. Christine.
Yes, I wanted to comment, too, on what you said about this Brian Doyle being such a nincompoop. Not
a
only
predator.
Is he a predator, but stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And having something to do with our homeland insecurities. And also, don't forget about this porn stuff that's all the way up to the White House. Don't forget about James Gunther, a.k.a. Jeff Gannon.
That's correct.
Who had that website, Military Studs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was all the way up in the White House fraternizing with the president and all the other members up there. I mean, he had free will just to go about wherever he wanted.
Had the ultimate type of clearance and access to George W. And not only access, but it's very crafted, it is very orchestrated, and it is very specific. When George W. Bush points to a reporter to ask him a question during a press conference, and the fact that George W. Bush was asking this man questions means that he was cleared on the highest level. A porn star.
That is, I mean, I've always said that we have homeland insecurity, and I always like to back up something I say. They didn't make very much of this young woman who stowed away on the airplane to go to a concert.
She got to the concert, didn't she?
Got
to the concert. I want to know how she did. I want to know how she did that.
Very smart woman, or
Homeland Security.
So
Homeland Security is just—it's full of predators trying to score with 14-year-old girls. That's why your homeland's not secure. 55-year-old man trying to predatize 15-year-old girls.
And she stole, and this young lady stowed away in the bathroom of the airplane
and
all the way.
How did she get there? How did she get there without a ticket? I mean, they take my ticket. They try to get me to do a drop. They try to take DNA samples and all of that
take
stuff.
Take your shoes off.
Take your shoes off. How'd she get in the bathroom to stow away? How did she get in the airport? You're not even allowed to. Your loved ones can't even walk you to the airplane. How'd she get in?
It's an enigma.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on a wake-up call.
Liz Brown.
Fella on a car phone.
You know that was the second guy that they called from Homeland Security, right?
Second guy, I mean, with a predator?
Right.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, MSNBC did the same type of situation. And they caught a guy from Homeland Security. He was a younger guy than this guy. I guess he was in his 30s.
Like I said.
He was involved in Homeland Security also.
And a child predator.
Child predator. He was going after a 14-year-old. It was either a 14-year-old boy or a girl. But they had a young lady posing as a boy and a girl. And this guy came to her house. They had cameras and everything at the house. They caught over 50 guys in 3 days.
Homeland Security. George Bush appointees.
Yes, ma'am.
I passed security clearance. Hey, fella on the car phone. You
yes,
think
ma'am.
That you they would pass you for security? You think they passed me? I ain't done nothing wrong, and you ain't done nothing wrong.
I don't have complexion protection, Liz.
Well, apparently you don't have a predator protection either.
You have a good one.
Take care of yourself. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Carlos.
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
I was just calling because the guy just called in talking about what he's seen on MSNBC. He's correct. Another guy went through the same thing on TV. This has been about 3 or 4 weeks ago. He got called Homeland Security, but what a lot of people don't understand is the internet brings out some of the wildest things about people who keep it private in their lives, and they get home and get on the internet and lose their mind. That's why I don't even touch that thing.
Well, no,
you know,
I don't touch
they let all their crazy thoughts just go wild on the internet.
No, wait a minute. No, so, it's not. The internet doesn't bring anything out. What the internet does is allow people that are predisposed in that way to get things done faster, more efficiently. The internet doesn't cause
that's what I'm saying. That's what I meant to say.
Okay,
They doing it to the fullest now.
They're
going crazy.
Yeah, they are. All right, now. Thank
all
you,
right,
Carlos.
Nice talking to you.
Nice
all
talking
right.
to you. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me.
Fat man in front of me. He's calling black people trash to his children. And he's the only trash here.
Here's an opportunity for you this Saturday from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. at Lee Auditorium. The Missouri History Museum's Race, Power, and Money program is presenting to you a discussion of the book, My Face is Black is True. Author Dr. Mary Frances Berry. She is the woman who chaired the United States Commission on Civil Rights, and she will be here in town to discuss her book, My Face is Black is True. And reservations are required. Here's the number, 361-9017, 361-9017. That's this Saturday from 1 p.m. to 2:30 at Lee Auditorium. Call in. Make your reservation. Attend this. My Face is Black is True, a discussion. Join Dr. Mary Frances Berry in a discussion on her new book, My Face is Black is True. Reservations are required, 361-9017.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Were you aware that big changes are on the way for the welfare system come October? Congress has decided that states are not doing enough to get people off of aid programs and back into the job market. This could result in states losing billions of dollars if they don't develop plans the government approves of by as early as June. State governments say if they don't keep the flexibility they currently have to put people back into the job market, the whole plan is doomed to fail. You need to be listening Friday morning at 8 for an informative look at the possible end of the welfare program as we know it with Daniel Vock, staff writer and researcher for Stateline.org, here on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Join the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy, hosted by Zaki Baruti at our new hour at 9 p.m. every Thursday night for insightful information and intelligent discussion of the issues of the day. Tune in to the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy. Remember, knowledge is power.
This is Donna Gamash.
And this is Sabrina Underwood.
Join us for Women Inspiring Women every weekday afternoon at 1 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. Every day, Sabrina and I will bring you amazing women who will motivate, inspire, educate, and entertain you.
Each Friday, we'll be joined by women authors who share their journey of getting in print. And through their success, they will inspire you to make your book happen.
So join me, Donna Gamash.
And me, Sabrina Underwood.
For Women Inspiring Women, every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Hi, this is Ken Dodson, host of The Ken Dodson Show. And I want to let you know about a guest that I'm going to have on my show this week. I'm going to have the phenomenal Liz Brown on The Ken Dodson Show this Friday from 8 till 9. I'm going to examine a side of Liz Brown that you've never seen before. It's an hour conversation with Liz Brown this Friday on The Ken Dodson Show. I'll see you then.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Just a little bit longer.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me, Mac. Good morning.
How you doing, Miss Brown?
I'm outstanding.
Yeah, we most safer today than we were yesterday.
Mm.
But like they said, the apple don't fall far from the tree.
It doesn't. The nut doesn't fall far from the tree.
What you think that man gonna surround himself with?
Absolutely.
A lot of stupid people, cause he's stupid.
Mm.
So stupid people flock with stupid people.
All right now.
And like you said, a few weeks ago, we had a medic out in the county. He was working two jobs, left his laptop sitting on the table and run off to help somebody. And his workers looked through it. He in jail now on a $100,000 bond, even dealing in child pornography.
Mm-hmm.
George Peach, the biggest fool in Missouri, locking up people. He go out and solicit the police officers.
Prostitutes.
Mm-hmm. So these people, I have always looked at a person as a human first, and name recognition came second. They got canine dogs in this city. They was a dog first, and they do wear badges around their neck, but they first was a dog.
Thanks,
so that's how I look at you. You have to, your name, you have to live up to, they can put a name on a dog, anything. It's the person behind that name.
That's bad.
It's what counts. So walking around, I hear all these people talk, this a quiet neighborhood, this a peaceful neighborhood. Yes, it is. That's why everybody stay away from everybody. Thank you.
All right. Columbine was a fine high school, right? 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. Scott.
Yeah, you know, the terrorists might have blackmailed that pedophile.
Of course. You are so vulnerable. You are vulnerable to everything. You are the worst type of person to work anywhere with security, anywhere with the government, because you are ripe and primed to be taken advantage of.
Yeah, Bush is, he's keeping us safe.
Yes, he is. I feel secure, don't you, Scott?
Yeah, oh yeah.
All right now. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
Let me get the speaker off. I had called in just to find out where the two board members would be sworn in at and what time.
I don't have that information.
Because your producer said he didn't, and maybe you would know.
Yes.
Okay, if there's anyone that knows, could I ask him to please call in? I heard it on TV, but they didn't give the time and the place.
All right.
And I'm so glad to have heard on yesterday morning. Ding dong.
All right.
Hey, I like that.
All right.
We used to use it as a little ditty.
Okay.
But that guy that calls in and says your name 4 or 5 times. Hello, guy. I like you. And Miss Brown, I worked. This is my 15th year. I didn't get home until 9:26 Tuesday night.
Mm.
It's terrible the way that the Board of Election routes the roving deputies to pick up the ballots, and we can't leave.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
So when we have our next meeting,
all right,
I'm telling everybody that's a judge or a supervisor, have some thoughts mind as to what we can do.
Bad.
Love everybody that won, and we're going to work and make this thing work.
That's
because
bad.
The Fashion lady said so.
All right.
We're looking for all of you Saturday at Vashon at 11 o'clock.
All right.
All alumni. Love you.
All right. Love you, too. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. Larry.
Hey, Ms. Brown. How
good
you
morning.
Doing? Hey, Liz.
Yes.
You heard anything about them lacrosse players up at Duke University that's supposed to rape them two sisters?
What I heard is that, and they were strippers. The women were strippers. And what I heard was just so foul. Coming out of the biggest drug user in America, Rush Limbaugh's mouth. As opposed to going up his nose, it's coming out of his mouth. You know what he said? You know what he called them?
What?
He said he called them H-O-apostrophe-S.
But they're still human beings.
Wait a minute. No. Wait, ain't no but to that at all. Mm. Simply because you are a stripper makes you a prostitute, one. And secondly, the fact of even if you were a prostitute, what, you can't rape a prostitute?
She's worthless to them.
Okay. That's what he said. That's what he said. It instinctively, his response is that that's what they are. And he used those three letters to describe those women and defend those rapists.
And then the sick 19-year-old, the one that invited him over, he sent an email
that,
saying that they wasn't going to have no nudity. As soon as the bees get there, what he was going to do was he was going to kill them and cut their skin off.
Cut their skin off.
Sick dude.
Now, if that's not racist... If that's not monstrous, it was so awful, so ugly that the president of the university said, "Oh no, you got to get off the campus." You
got to go. He was killing Adolf Hitler, though.
It was so bad that the president of the university said, "I read it and I got sick to my stomach." Mm. He's no longer here.
And then, check this out. If it was 19 black men off the football team, all of them be in jail waiting for the DNA result to come back.
Absolutely.
There wouldn't be no such thing. You go to class and just...
And we'll see how this all works out.
Right.
All right now. Thank you.
You take it easy.
454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Hey, Liz, how you doing?
Andre, good morning.
I'm okay. First of all, I'm so glad that, and congratulations to everybody in the city who did take the trash out.
Mm-hmm. Took the trash out. Good riddance to bad rubbish.
Yeah. And as far as this whole thing with the Homeland Security, the only solace I have in that is that hopefully he will end up in jail, and the boys on cell block H will take care of that. But the thing that I want to mention to you is this. First of all, I need to ask a question because I think you would know this. Where does the funding come from for the city health department? Is that state funding or is it city? Or is it both?
I think it's both.
Okay. So it's taxpayer support.
Absolutely.
Okay. Here's my thing. Generally, on a yearly basis, just keep up with it, I go and have an HIV, STD checkup. I don't believe in having surprises. I think everybody should do it if you're sexually active and, you're not in a relationship. I went to do it this time around. The health department has moved to regional now, ConnectCare. It's not on Grand anymore.
Okay.
And
that's brand new. That's like just brand new.
Yeah, just within, the last couple months.
That's correct. That's correct.
Now, the lady in doing the intake, she's taking my information and everything. She says to me, "Oh, by the way, this is going to cost $125.
Huh?
Now, that's what I said. Now, I haven't heard. Now, if you know or any of your listeners, please tell. I haven't heard any PSAs. I haven't seen anything in print, nothing to that effect.
What has it been in the past? Hasn't it been free?
It's been free. It's always been free. This is public health care. It's always been free, as it should be. It's just like with tuberculosis. This is something you need to control for the safety of a population.
Over $100?
No, $125.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, the first thought that popped into my mind was, see, for me, fortunately, it's not a matter of price. It's a matter of I've already paid for this in my tax dollars, but not only that, the thing that I'm thinking about is how many people have gone through the same process and walked back out of that door untested, not knowing anything, because they couldn't pay. Or people are already feeling stigmatized just being there to begin with. And then you throw up another hurdle.
Wow.
It's bad enough that we cannot even, in St. Louis, I don't know about the rest of the state, you can't even take these tests anonymously. In places like San Francisco, Los Angeles, you can go and it's
you can't take
system.
It. You can't take it anonymously?
No. When you go in, you have to have a picture identification with like a state ID.
Really?
Yes. So how many people have been turned off just by that? This is a potentially deadly situation.
Really? Wow. And $125.
If you don't have identification, you cannot be tested.
Wow. It didn't always used to be that way, did it?
Yes, it did.
It's
always
been that way?
As far as identification was concerned, yes.
Wow.
But you weren't paying.
I didn't know that.
So every time you are tested, you are a public statistic from that point on.
Name and address.
Yes.
Wow.
Just for example, if you are tested, let's say you're tested for, I don't know, chlamydia or herpes, and for some reason you don't come back in that window, it's like 2 weeks. Say you don't come back in that time and you turn up positive, they will send someone to your house.
Wow.
They will send, so it's just like being under warrant.
Wow. And that's one of the reasons why we have such a high rate in this city.
Exactly.
Because they put up all kinds of barriers to keep people from doing this.
And not only keeping people from doing it, but like I said, this is potentially deadly.
Yeah. Thanks for that information.
And I just think people need to know about this, and there needs to be something done. Because the other thing I'm thinking is, like you always talk about connecting dots. Well, if the services are already being paid for, which I knew they were, through tax dollars,
then why are you
doing it? Where is this $125 going to? Has somebody set up some kind of slush fund?
We got to go. Thank you, Andre.
All right.
We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me. 454-0400 is my phone number. Listen, folks, here's an opportunity for you. The Missouri History Museum is having their regular discussion on race, power, and money. The program this Saturday is My Face is Black is True, a book discussion by author Dr. Mary Frances Berry. Mary Frances Berry chaired the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. The discussion will take place Saturday from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. at Lee Auditorium. Reservations are required. 361-9017, 361-9017. This Saturday, a discussion as part of the Missouri History Museum's Race, Power, and Money program, a discussion on the book My Face is Black is True, and a discussion with the author, Dr. Mary Frances Berry. Reservations required, 361-9017.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Mexico City. The United States appears to be on a collision course with many of the nations in Central and South America over a number of political and economic issues. That's according to an editorial in a recent edition of Mexico City's The Journal newspaper. It refers to the Bush administration's plan to use laws to persecute migrant workers in an effort to keep the cost of immigrant labor cheap. The paper also says that Washington continues to exude hostility towards Cuba and Venezuela, yet is trying to impose a regional free trade area that does not include those nations. And it wants the balance on trade to be slanted to favor itself. The editorial concludes by saying the United States has weakened itself as a shining example for democracy because of its plan for regime change in Iraq, its mistreatment of prisoners, and the disclosures of corruption and inefficiency in both the rebuilding of that country and the handling of its own disasters. So, Latin America should seize the moment to define its own destiny and lose its identity of being merely another colony of the United States. And Dateline New York. A couple of recent incidents indicate how much the freedom of the press is under attack. One of the producers of ABC's Good Morning America was suspended without pay for a month after two of his private emails got leaked to the Drudge Report and the New York Post. One of them said, quote, "Bush makes me sick. If he uses the mixed message line one more time, I'm going to puke," unquote. The other one had some strong criticism of former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. He had to offer a formal apology to White House Communications Director Nicole Wallace for the remark about the president. Then, Chris Graff was bureau chief in Vermont for the Associated Press for many years. But then he got fired after he ran an op-ed piece by Senator Patrick Leahy that was critical of Bush policies. That column was immediately taken off the wire services. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
That's right, that's right, that's right. Sears at 3425 Union, black-owned, black-operated. Jerome Williams, look, you can get your lawnmowers, you can get your treadmills, you can get your washers, your dryers, your refrigerators, your stoves, your big-screen television, everything that you need. And the best, they have deals there that they don't have at the mall. So come on, get your shop on at 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Anything you want to know about the Jewish religion is available every Sunday night at 7 on the Torah Judaism with Tali broadcast. Naftali Ben Reuben brings you a teaching and instructional program that gives you a comprehensive understanding of the Jewish religion and its customs. Don't miss Torah Judaism with Tali, Sunday nights at 7, right here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999.
Were you aware that big changes are on the way for the welfare system come October? Congress has decided that states are not doing enough to get people off of aid programs and back into the job market. This could result in states losing billions of dollars if they don't develop plans the government approves of by as early as June. State governments say if they don't keep the flexibility they currently have to put people back into the job market, the whole plan is doomed to fail. You need to be listening Friday morning at 8 for an informative look at the possible end of the welfare program as we know it with Daniel Vock, staff writer and researcher for Stateline.org, here on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Rise up, rise up, everybody gotta rise up, come follow me, rise up, rise up, this team massive got to rise up, you got to rise up, rise up, everybody gotta rise up, yeah, you gotta rise up, rise up.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown, and my number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. Real quick, just two comments. Today at 1:30 p.m. at 801 North 11th Street is the swearing-in of Peter Downs and Donna Jones.
1:30?
1:30 p.m.
Very good.
And the other comment was I was just recently a juror with the city of St. Louis. And I was being selected to sit on a case with a young man who's been charged with armed robbery and armed criminal action. And what surprised me was that I wasn't selected, but it seems like the case was heading toward this guy's guilt.
Conviction.
As it relates to the word of a police officer because they
asked. Why do you suppose you weren't selected?
I don't know, but the jury that was selected.
What were some of the answers that you gave to some of the questions? When they asked you about the credibility of cops, what did you say?
Well, they asked if we had any past experience, bad experience with the police officer about being detained.
And what did you respond to that?
Yes, I did.
And that's why you weren't on the jury. That's why you weren't selected on the jury.
Yeah, and I was shocked because, you know, we all talked after we went back to the jurors' room to be selected for the next case. And from the consensus of the room, it seemed like this guy was already convicted.
Well, yeah, and again, that's why people need to just understand that every word that they speak is going to be interpreted from the perspective of conviction.
And, and if you've had bad experiences with the police, that's going to be interpreted as you cannot sit fairly on the jury. I mean, the thing that people, if they answer that question, then they need to be very clear on, I don't hold anything against the police. That's not going to, I am not going to hold that against them. And in a set, I can judge this case fairly. I put that behind me. That kind of stuff needs to be said. Because that way the defense attorney can not allow the prosecutor to strike you for cause.
Right, and I felt sad for this young black.
Did you say any of that?
Yeah, I did. You know, I told him I don't think that case would sway my decision on this one way or the other.
You just have to be very, 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 very emphatic. They will use their strikes against you when people say things like that.
You know, and then you look at the jury who's supposed to be, you know, I'm under the understanding that they're supposed to be pick a jury of your peers. Out the 12 members of the ones they pick, there was one black female. The rest were elderly.
In a city of mostly black people.
Right.
Okay. And I'm sure the jury pool was pretty black, too.
Yeah, the jury pool was. But by
the time they came down to it, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
Okay. Thank you for that lesson. 454-0400 is my phone number. Ex-Peter.
You know, I was hoping that you will closely follow this event with Charles Taylor.
I am absolutely going to follow this Charles Taylor thing. I just, you know, I've just been distracted with or focused on the local election. Oh, we're getting into the Charles Taylor story.
And hopefully that we show the history of Liberia and also the relationship that the United States have had with, and not only had in a cordial way, but also a funding way, giving aid to some of the notorious leaders like the Tubmans, the Tolbert, Samuel Doe, and leading up to Taylor. And these people committed crimes against humanity, against these leaders, should I say, that were funded by the U.S., created all sorts of horrendous crimes against their people.
It's interesting that the United States is acquiescing in the trial of Taylor to be in the at the UN UN court. That's interesting to me, and I haven't figured out exactly what that means.
And you know, another thing, you're talking about crimes against humanity. There's a Rwandan spokesperson by the name of Emmanuel Murizaki. I don't know if you've ever had him on your show or not, but he talks about the implications that France had with the whole Rwandan ordeal, the genocide ordeal. Mm-hmm. And why come France is not being brought up on these crimes against humanity charges like they're trying to do Taylor?
That's a fact. And the United States has said that, yeah, you can have this genocide court, you can have that, but no American citizen will ever have to sit in front of that.
Yeah.
Now, how crazy is that? Well, you have people from Homeland Security that are child predators. And what, no American can commit a crime against humanity? Come on now. Come on.
But I sure would hope that you bring this
out
so that people can have understanding. Thank you.
Absolutely. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGMU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Ike. What's on your mind?
I'm just convalescing. I've been listening to you every day since I got on. Hospital, and it was a very good show, but I'm doing much better now. I didn't call in, but for your hard work in the community, it can be done because we're power in numbers by that school board.
That's fact.
You know, I knew all along, I was laying in my bed. I said, they're going to do this time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I felt like this.
All right.
And I just went back because I know it's going to be in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to this perverted fool in the White House, what Bush going to say when they question him about that?
Mm.
Have a nice day.
All right now.
All right.
Don't forget, folks, today at 1:30 at 8:01, that's the office downtown for the St. Louis School Board. We have the swearing in of Peter Downs and Donna Jones, 1:30 today. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg, hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
was shot and was killed tonight. I will never say that progress has been made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The anthem, brother. How can you listen?
Well, the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Latest from ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. They say he can get the death penalty. Now the jury in the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui has begun the phase of the case that will determine if he will be executed. ABC's Luis Schiavone is at the federal courthouse in Alexandria, Virginia.
The government will argue Moussaoui should be punished by death for the brutal 9/11 deaths of almost 3,000 people. And ABC News has learned that